Supreme game taking over. That's a promise, not a threat. Uppercut season, no time. You stop breathing. Oh, you're pressing that shit twice. Yeah, yeah, what's good, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Real Talk, where, as always, if shit's real, we talk about it. Yo, I'm your host for tonight, Pat Scorpio, the England representer. And as always, I got my man with me. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Yo, what it do is Shutterworth the God, a.k.a. the GOAT Artist. Rocking with y'all Thursday night, hip-hop edition for RainGangRadio.com. Best podcast in the gizang. You know what it is. Let's get it. World's still up. Let's go.
Absolutely, yo. Ring gang in the house forever and always. And as always, I got my other man with me. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Hey, yo, what's good? It's your boy, King P, Bodega P, Bodega Fox in the building. Ring gang radio all day. Let's go. We got the music review tonight. Let's get this music review popping. Let's get it.
Yo, anyone nobody banned from the bodega?
Not today. We chilling. We good. Everybody been acting. Everybody been good for so far.
So far, you know. You know, but, it's only a matter of time, you know what I mean? You know, but yo, but last but certainly not least, I got my other man with me. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Let's fly, it's Conscious Pod, the West Coast Avenger, preparing for liftoff, bring in radio. Let's fly, music edition. Let's get it. Classic.
Conscious Pod stays elevating above the clouds, you dig? So yeah, man, you know, of course, you know, but you know, we had last time we did this, it was the R&B. Now we're going to the soundtracks. You know what I'm saying? We go back to the 90s with the soundtracks, you know, when the soundtracks were prevalent, you know, it was hot as regular artist albums and shit, and group albums and shit like that. And we're picking album and pick two particular soundtracks from some classic movies, classic basketball movies, classic black movies on top of that. I want to make sure that's the emphasis on that.
It's like the three B's, like,
yeah.
Classic basketball movies, classic black movies, mm-hmm. Classic soundtracks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, of course, we're talking about Above the Rim and Sunset Park, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, in the 90s, you know, NBA action was fantastic, you know what I'm saying? College basketball, too, Michelle. College basketball was lit in the fucking 90s.
I mean, there were so many basketball movies, like Six Man. Six Man was my favorite as a young kid, but I'm just saying there were so many. Space Jam, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there were so many.
There's an actual genre back in the 90s, I feel like.
Yeah, it was. Like, there's not like a basketball movie genre no more. Like, there's not even a sports
genre no more. Even like for young, like when I was young, Air Bud, but I'm saying Coach Carter felt like the end of the basketball era.
Yeah, Coach Carter was probably the last of the basketball movies, yeah. Because, I mean, Shaq's best movie was a basketball movie with Blue Chips. Like, you know, like all the dope.
Yeah,
like basketball movies were like they were out there, like, and they were all dope, and he had dope soundtracks too. You know, and Above the Rim, you know, I think kind of really set it off the basketball soundtracks because, goddamn, you know, that shit was, first of all, the movie itself was highly anticipated. Like, that shit used to get interviews all the time on MTV. Like, that shit was really, because, you know, it was the whole, because the New York streetball scene was serious. But what was so wild about Above the Rim was, instead, because, you know, it's about a New York basketball scene, but you know, they were commissioned by, the soundtrack's commissioned by Jeff Rowe and Interscope Records. So yeah, West Coast niggas putting music to an East Coast movie.
And know, that shit worked, though.
Yeah, no, it really did, too. This is really before the East Coast, West Coast shit, but it was kind of crazy, though. They couldn't find, like, because it was not, because the soundtrack itself is very, very West Coast, like, maybe about two or three East Coast shit, like, real East Coast shit tops.
Even the East Coast niggas on that shit are repping West Coast.
Yo, facts, so, like, yeah, because it was a special soundtrack, too, because, like I said, man, like, you know, and honestly, too, because being LB, I know you had the cassette. You had the cassette, obviously, back in the day, right?
I had the CD for Sunset Park. I know the cassette version of Above the Rim, like, it's almost like the Nas joint. You got, like, the Tupac songs on it that the CD don't have.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why, because back then, you know, CDs had, because they had so many fucking songs on there that they didn't kind of cut it up. It's like, yo, you know, the cassettes will get the extra shit. And then the CD will just have, because it had time, because you think you're going to put 80 minutes on a CD.
I couldn't help but notice your pain. My pain. It runs deep. Share it with me.
Yeah, that's what it is. And I was glad I got the cassette version, because the cassette version, like I said, because the shit was dope, man. So, and then Sunset Park. Sunset Park, you know, is probably one of the most underrated of the movie soundtracks, because it was an underrated movie itself, too. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's like the New Jersey Drive of basketball movies.
Facts.
Like, you know, it don't get. I've been meaning to rewatch it, because I haven't rewatched it in a while. Mm-hmm. It's just. Leading up to the podcast, this shit was just so busy. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to really just run it back. But I've been meaning to.
Like, I want to watch it. Because, I mean, the book there always comes on. But I want to watch Sunset Park. I used to love that movie. But, you know, it seems like it's, you know, because back in the day, TNT would be running Above the Rim. You know, like, but you see Above the Rim.
Yeah, Above the Rim used to get mad run. But they, even then, Park. Like, mm-hmm. Sunset Park was still on some, like, you would catch that late night randomly, just like you would what's the shit I just said?
New Jersey Drive.
New Jersey Drive. Same thing. So even Strapped is up there with one of those just random.
Yo, that shit is. I know that's on HBO Max right now. Strapped. Strapped was classic too. Strapped.
Yeah, I got to rewatch that shit. Yo, yeah, look, yo, son, why he got more meat on his sandwich? Like, yo, put more meat on there. Like, yo, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Then he just turned around like,
yeah.
Wow. Like, yeah, oh, yeah, shit, yeah. What it do, Miss 702? Salute, we ain't here.
What's good,
we ain't here for this this music shit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, man, the soundtracks themselves, too, is like, they are very different. Like, I mean, Sunset Park is literally like a good hodgepodge of the music of the day, because it came out in 96. You know?
Yeah, it kind of gave you everything, where the Above the Rim soundtrack kind of said, like, we got some heavy hitters. Then they was like, hold on, I need you to listen to these little niggas, too.
Yeah, because you know,
we'll kind of sneak them in here. Like they had the little Joe Budden parts on the damn Clue mixtape, like.
Right. Yeah. Like. They had the A team, and then you know they had to let the B team and some C team level niggas, you know, shine too. Because
Before we get into this, I gotta ask. Mm-hmm. This is something I was like when I was listening to both of them back. Do either of these feel more like they're both great? But do either of them to you feel like it's at times just like, how do I say this? A collection of songs. Like, I don't know.
Like, does it feel like a soundtrack?
No. I'm not saying that either of them don't feel like a soundtrack, but there were times where I feel like it was like a collection of songs that were like put together and like the cohesiveness was up and down.
Especially, Above the Rim? You're talking about Above the Rim,
yeah,
right?
More Above the Rim. Above the Rim, like, was, like, kind of, like, okay, it was here, and then it went, like, it got, like, as the middle
part. Yeah, the mid, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like
it felt like just a bunch of songs that they just put on, and it was just, like, here, like, that didn't flow. Not only were they, like whatever you want to say, mid-songs, they didn't flow right.
They didn't flow together. Some parts are, like, legit. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought Above the Rim was going to clear that.
Like, even if songs can be good and still be all over the place if there's no cohesion. Like, and that's what...
Yeah, but
like,
these songs weren't really that good. They were just kind of there. Like, I feel like you could take off maybe, like, four songs off the Above the Rim, four or five songs... Even 3 to 5 songs off Above the Rim, you could remove, and you have a better project for it.
And resequence it, because it does feel like it was just random. Yeah. Like, there's no flow to it. I think a lot.
That's the thing. Like, when I really look at it, like, the sequencing is bad. It's just the fucking, like, it's the songs themselves, yo. Yeah. Like, you got like a whole mid range, like from 11 to maybe 13. 14, like, you got maybe from 11 to 14, it's like a bunch of mid songs. Like, you can easily take over.
We'll get into it, but to me, it was like I said, to me, it was going well until, like, I think after Afro Puffs is when, like, it started.
You think a number 11?
After Afro
Puffs. That's exactly what I said.
Is when it started. Like, I didn't hear the number 11 part, but
I don't remember number 11 to 14. Because look, bro, you got the Just Say Yo, Just So You Know, Hoochies Need Love Too. I'm on the I'll Be Sure song, the OFTB, and I fucked with OFTB, but this ain't one of their better songs. So it's like you got like 4 songs in a row that you can just take off.
Take off, yeah.
and just go from the damn Lady of Rage song and then go right back into the damn Bring the Dogs Out, which was cool. The Blow the Way Up. The rest of it is cool. Like, the Hoochie, yeah, it's them four songs in the middle.
The Hoochie joint was fire to me, I ain't gonna lie. The Hoochie, that was kind of fire. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, let's get this started. Since we are talking about Above the Rim, so the first track from the Above the Rim soundtrack, and of course, and was a big hit for SWV and everything like that. Anything.
That's a 10, nigga.
Yeah, can't go wrong with SWV.
That was a
strong opener too. Like, yeah, we haven't like really listened to an album where they just came out with a hard ass swinging like, yeah, 10 motherfucker. Like, that's what this needed. And,
this was the remix.
Like, the remix was great.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
back in the day, some of the remixes were better than the original. This is one of them.
Honestly, I forgot about the original.
Like, yeah, because the original of anything is a real slow song. Like, it's not. Yeah. And then you had the remix, which was this, and then you had the rap remix with Woo on it, which, you know, which I think was that was a big hit too, but it wasn't on this. Surprisingly, it should have been on the soundtrack, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. It was classic, yo. Yeah, that's a 10 song. Like, anyone that's less than 10, honestly, you just, you know, already your music.
You don't like Sisters with Voices.
Honestly, you know, the funny thing is, like, I felt like this song really, like, the opener kicked off, like, what I felt was like, because I'm gonna be honest, this album is every bit as 94 as 94 can get for me.
Right? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course,
yeah. Y'all niggas love the 90s so much. I don't want to hear that shit.
I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm just saying this feels like such a 94 like album. So, and which is fine. I'm cool with that. I'm just saying. And this kind of kicks it off, encapsulates that.
Yeah, I mean, nigga, I was in middle school, so yeah, this was straight up 90s, yo, and that song was like a huge hit. And, you know, what up, Marquise? I see you in there.
Hello. What up, gang?
And then go on to Sunset Park soundtrack. The first song that set it off was High Till I Die with Tupac. And
that was a 10.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tupac and Dog Pound were the only ones that were on both soundtracks, and This one is probably Tupac's last soundtrack song that he released in his lifetime. You know, this was the last one. Everything else has just been like the remixes and shit. You know, but High Till I Die, yo.
Oh, nah, you can't say that. That's wrong. Gang related soundtrack.
I said in his lifetime, bro. Gang Related wasn't released in his lifetime.
What the fuck? Like, nigga, he ain't plan on dying, niggas.
Well, that's why I say in his lifetime, bro. That's what it means. I'm not talking about the posthumous shit, nigga. And although it was dope, though. No, don't get me wrong. No, that shit was dope, too. But, no, this one was like 3 months like before he got killed.
The crazy part is,
when did Gridlock come out again?
97,
okay. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that was 96.
Yeah, no, Above the Rim.
If y'all hear the Art of Dialogue interview, Fredro Starr been on there, and he was talking about the whole when he met Tupac at the Sunset Park screening and everything, and he was going on about the movie and how Tupac was a fan of the movie and his acting. Like, it's real dope interview. Like,
do the knowledge, nigga. Was he?
Yeah. You know, but High Till I Die is a 10 to me. You know, that shit was my shit right there.
A hell of an opener. I mean, yeah. I mean,
you know. Yeah. What's up with bitches trying to screw me? Do me because I did the movie. Throw the pussy.
Man, I mean, Pop was, you know,
never knew me. I was like, Pop, yo, that nigga was.
And they use that fucking verse on so much shit.
Pop was at his peak. I mean, you know, rap. Well, you know, I'm saying lyrically, I felt like Pop. You know,
before that's why I say when niggas say Pop ran 96, he really did run 1996. Like, there was no question about that shit. Like.
Mobb Deep and the Fugees ran in about 96, nigga.
Well, Fugees, I mean, Mobb Deep, no. Fugees, you have to, because them niggas went like crazy platinum off that killing softly shit, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, the score was everywhere.
Yeah, fucking everywhere, you know? But Tupac was dropping heat upon heat in 96. Like, there was no question about that shit. And that's a fucking, yeah, that song was a fucking 10, like, there. Like, I love that shit. Like, the beat and everything, man. That shit was classic Pac. Let's see. Now back to 2. Now 2 is where, 2 is, to me, I mean, it's a classic song to me. All Time Sake by Sweet Sable. Shit, Lord, I know it's been sampled a couple of times, but I know some of these new niggas have sampled that shit.
Yeah, I gave it a 7. It was a cool song.
Wait, what song was it?
All Time Sick.
All Time Sick by Sweet Sable.
The second track on Sunset Park, right?
No,
that was a 9. I like the track. That was a 9. A 9 to me.
That was a classic. That was a 10 to me. Like, that was
I gave it an 8.
Yes. Yeah, because Sweet Sable, again, this is one of those things where Sweet Sable, I mean, wasn't really appreciated, which, I mean, she passed away from COVID, she was a dope singer. She used to, she was one of the few people that actually listen to house music, because I don't even like house music at all, but she could fucking sing,
What's wrong with house music? What the hell?
Nigga, I don't like
it. Don't fucking listen to it, just like niggas don't listen to that damn puss-ass reggaeton, nigga. He don't listen to that whack ass shit.
Yeah, don't even give me some reggaeton.
House music is not whack. We're not gonna do house music.
If a nigga don't listen to it, it's whack. Then nigga, he don't like it. He don't fuck with it. God damn. Like just Ring Gang, niggas do what the fuck they want, nigga.
Nigga, expand your mind.
That's like niggas don't listen to fucking whack ass Afro beats, nigga. Like,
well, I listen to Afro.
Everybody ain't gotta like that.
Hold
shit.
Whoa!
Fuck all of that shit,
man.
Nigga, I listen to Afrobeats.
Nigga, you African, of course. Nigga, you can't say nothing bad about it. Nigga, come on.
Afrobeats too, man.
And no one gives a fuck. That should be whack too. That's the easiest music to do. Wilder non-boxing ass could goddamn do an Afrobeat, dog. Wilder tell you the entry level is like so low.
Hold up, Wilder did it, but Wilder didn't do it good. Like, come on, anybody?
Course.
That's just like saying anybody can rap. Yeah, anybody can rap, but not everybody can do it well. What the fuck?
Yeah, but niggas just, I don't know, like. It seems like niggas put a little more effort into Afrobeat. I mean, into rap than Afrobeats, nigga. No one's gonna tune in to listen to Afrobeats battle, nigga.
You don't know that. Sooner or later,
y'all set that bullshit up. Fuck it. Get your little reggaeton battle, reggaeton, whatever the fuck it is. Like, it's 2003. We'll run back some Lumidy records, nigga, and we'll have a go at it.
I'm just saying, here in New York, in the 90s, I heard a lot of house and a lot of freestyle, so I ain't going shit on house music. So,
it's there. Like, gotta have something for the bitches to listen to, nigga. Like, everything can't be everything for everybody.
Right. So, I mean, so for Old Time Sake, we got 7, 8, 9, and a 10.
Not that whole fucking spectrum.
Yeah. So, like I said, number 2 for Sunset Park, Motherless Child. I lost my fucking mind when I, because it has a video for it, too. I saw the video first of all, and I lost my fucking mind when I heard that.
I'm one of the rare weird ones where I prefer Iron Man over Purple Tape. It's weird, I know, but...
Not weird. There's a lot of niggas like that. That's not like an off-the-wall tape.
Feel... like a motherless child. Do do do. Yeah, that shit. Like that shit. Set that whole shit off. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's.
I feel like you got to put on like a winter coat to listen to that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's fire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't listen to that shit when there's palm trees and that and shit like that.
Yeah, that's not summertime music. That's cold.
Yeah, that's why you're about to commit a crime of some sort.
I mean, when the temperature hit, like, I guess 50 for these niggas down here, they and the shorties bring out the boots and shit, the Conan boots.
But yeah, no, yeah, that's, I mean, it's sad to me, though, why Ghost doesn't like his Iron Man material that much. I mean,
he said he was going through it, man. Yeah, like, it's different. Red Man the same way with that one album where he was talking about he's still high.
And finally, because respectfully, those are my favorite albums from like Iron Man and There's. Those are my favorite albums from those two. So yeah, it's
Supreme
like,
Clientele, but whatever. Different yeah, so,
but I mean,
Supreme Clientele probably like number 2 for me. But I don't see any. They're interchangeable at this point.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Ghost, yeah, that shit was just like, that shit was just grimy for no fucking reason, though. Like that was an epitome of a classic right there. Above the Rim, number three, Part-Time Lover by H-Town. This is where it goes into, this is where I know where P was talking about the sequencing. You know, H-Town is a classic.
This was a seven for me, though. This was still a good song. Like, great, it didn't really...
Great song. It just didn't need to come after Old Time Say. Like,
yeah, it was a little too early. Like,
yeah. You know, but
this needed to be where, like, where the whole Aaron Hall song was, the Jewels. Like, it needed to be further down. Like,
yeah, like this with the SWV song, that's a hype song.
You got right in there. Then they slow it down after that, but then it's like, they slow it down some more. It's like, damn, like, yeah. Chill. Like,
but it's a good song.
It's a basketball park soundtrack or what?
I mean, 8 Town is a class. I mean, I give that song an 8. It's a great song, but like I said.
The SWV joint?
No,
the H Town, 9 for me.
Nigga, like,
I walked away. Come on, the fuck.
Part-Time Lover's a 9 for me.
I just wish
the placement would have been better.
Yeah, like honestly, this might be the one of the reg where the placement would have, if it was placed, so it would have gotten.
It would have been better. Yeah, it was placed kind of. Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to hear that right then. Like, no.
Yeah. Like, niggas was just, like, bopping to anything, you know what I'm saying? Then it was slowed down just that so much. But yeah,
niggas went from, like, anything Sweet Sable to some Knock in the Boots shit. Like, nigga.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we tried to break this 21. Y'all niggas just talking about fuck it. Like, wait, what?
Word. All right, so let's see. Track number three for Sunset Park, Just Doggin' by the Dog Pound featuring Nate Dogg.
Oh, that was a 10. Like, this is a summer joint. Like,
yeah, absolutely, my nigga. That's a 10.
Big joint. You out here.
Corrupt couldn't fucking miss in that fucking time period, yo. Dog Pound couldn't fucking miss in that fucking time period, nigga.
Fact. They made some of the most fun-ass gangster music. Like,
straight up.
Like, you can see just niggas just getting stomped out in khakis and they're just smiling. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, yo, they ripped that whole fucking song, bro. Like, you know what the funny thing is, too? This song was supposed to be on Above the Rim, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I like the joint they got on Above the Rim as well, though. Like, them niggas did both projects justice.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely, you know. But what about P, Pilot? What did you give Just Doggin'?
9. I'll give it a 9.
Word. P?
9.
Yeah, like 9 or 10, like, you know, like I said, Dog Pound was just, again, they couldn't do no fucking wrong in that era at all. Like, none. You know what I'm saying? Again, you know, now we're going back to Above Rim, number 4. Again, by the Dog Pound. Big Pimpin', Nate Dogg and Snoop Dogg and Big Pimpin' Dillamon.
This was a 7 for me. Like, this ain't, like... Yeah, like, it was cool. Like, it was a cool... Yeah, the other song they got on there, Dog Pound for Life, is much better. Like,
hey, Daz killed it, but then it kind of tapered off after his verse. So I'm going to give it 8. I thought Daz was hilarious in that verse, but yeah, it's 8.
You know, I thought it was like a 9, you know. I do believe, like, Big Pimpin, I mean, I know because he was spitting Game or whatnot, but they let him spit Game a little bit too long on that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it kind of took you out of the vibe. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Not a bad song. But, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a classic Dog Pound. Like, you know, I mean, based on what they were on at that time. Like, you know, this shit is...
And it ain't no Let's Play High. Ooh, Let's Play High.
Yeah, you know, well, Nate Dogg's like, I'm just a dog, don't blame me. Like, that nigga used to harm me like some of the most wildest shit, yo. That nigga used to have me rolling, bro. Yo, rest
of R.I.P. Nate Dogg, that's a fucking legend, man. Yeah. Like,
I think recently.
There's certain niggas that once they pass, like, that's it. You'll never get another Nate Dogg. Like,
no, I think it was recently his birthday. So his birthday, whatever it was, but it was like his birthday or some shit, you know, the other day. So I was definitely playing, you know, his hooks, greatest chorus / hook maker, whatever you want to call it. The great, you know, he's the greatest by far.
But nobody.
But the thing with Nate Dogg is, like, he was more than his hooks. I mean, the hooks are classic, though. Like, the Nate Dogg albums are cold. Like, the Death Row album...
Yeah, he never really got the, like, the solo song love. Like, he only had, like, maybe a few that people really...
Yeah.
I think the These Days,
Just Another
Leave Me Alone.
Just which I think, real quick, what y'all think his best hook is, in y'all opinion?
It Ain't No Fun.
Ain't No Fun.
Damn, there's so many. Personally, it might be. If you heard Daz's first solo album off Death Row, I think the Revenge, Retaliation, and Get Back. I think his number 10 is a song called OG with Snoop and Nate Dogg. And Nate Dogg, he got one of the smoothest, coldest OG original gangsta.
I remember that one.
That shit fire. Coming from Long Beach.
I mean, I'm also partial to. I heard you wanna fuck with Dre. You picked the wrong motherfucking day. Honestly, you know, we need another Nate Dogg, man. Just to harmonize some gangster shit.
Yeah.
Somebody
really need to that's a void that's really lacking right now.
Right, yo. Some niggas that can. I'm talking about niggas that, you know, that the nuts hadn't dropped. I'm talking about some real singing, like niggas that know how to harmonize some shit.
The only person I've seen really, and shout out to, I know Pat know who he is, Big Ja. Have you ever seen where he be doing, the gangster records?
Yeah. Big Ja is a fool, yo.
It'd be hilarious how he do, the old gangster song. He'll do, the old ass 1970s R&B songs, but he'll put a gangster twist on that shit, and that shit would just be hitting. I can't even recall one of them right now to even play singing, but that shit be killing it. But yeah, R.I.P. Nate Dogg, 7. So we all kind of fuck with the song Dog Pound Joint.
I fuck with the song, yeah. But Big Pimpin, if they let him spit that game, just to, cut that game in half, then the shit would have been cool. You know what I mean? You know, all right, so let's see. Number 4 for Sunset Park, Back At You from Mobb Deep. And again, this is Mobb Deep.
That's a 10.
That's a 10.
I mean, that's easy.
Classic
error. Easy 10.
Easy 10.
Yeah, that was hell.
That was 96, right?
That's Hell on Earth era Mobb.
Yeah, Hell on Earth. Yeah, that's Hell on Earth.
Yeah.
That's when Havoc was on. Havoc was killing these.
Oh, Havoc was so young, making the craziest beat. I ran through a video of some of the samples he used. I was like, God damn, this kid was 1920 making some crazy fucking beats, bro.
They were smoking dust. I'm not going. We're not
underrated ass producer, bro. He's underrated. He doesn't get mentioned with the greats, but what he did in the 90s was crazy.
Yeah, and he continued, even as Prodigy kind of fell off, Havoc was still on point, but, Havoc was never really recognized as, he was a lyricist too, he could spit.
No, he could rap for sure.
Yeah.
But he kind of got big boy with that though.
Yeah, he got the big boy thing.
There's always one nigga that everyone just kind of be like, oh, it's this nigga, and it's like, no,
Big Boy was doing not heavy lifting, but he was the one that usually had two verses or the longer verses. It's like, damn, but you just shortchanging this motherfucker like he's a chocolate.
Because niggas be wanting the damn animated, charismatic motherfucker. That's what they want. They want the extra, maybe it's 8-Ball and MJG is about the only, one of the rare, groups, duos where I never heard people lean too much either way. I think you're just a fan of both.
You think UGK is Pimp C? Was that one?
Pimp C was the one because everybody goes off of Pimp C's personality, character, and his bars. If shit, top notch hoes get the most, not the less. And he'll say a random shit, and niggas will just be like,
they'll
sample it like it's a chorus now.
Yeah,
right.
How many people like that? You can really just say anything. Nigga just like, oh shit. So, but that's corrupt. Niggas corrupt. Mobb Deep, Prodigy, Prodigy.
Jada Styles, Jada usually, even though Styles probably.
Nigga, that's a 3-man group.
I know, I'm just saying, but Jada and Styles kind of,
Yeah, but she done ripped them niggas to shreds a bunch of times.
Right, absolutely, yeah. That's a classic single from Mobb Deep. Number 5 from Above the Rim, Didn't Mean to Turn You On by Second to None.
That was an 8 for me. I fucked with that song.
It's one of those songs because it's one of those guilty pleasure songs too. Because Truthfully, I thought Second to None was whack back in the day, but they had some songs that were just catchy as fuck.
This is an 8. This is an 8.
This was an absolute 8. But then it was one of those weird things. Didn't mean to turn you on. It's just like it's just that weird sequence of where that song is. You can do
it. But see, but now Above the Rim gonna start busting right now. Like it's Above the Rim starts getting into his bag now. Like as a soundtrack, it starts like just hitting.
Yeah, you know, so it does, you know. But like I said, I mean, I like the song. The second I did like as a group, I like the song. But it's one of those songs. That's just like it just needed to be put somewhere else. You know what I mean?
I don't even know where else you could put it because the songs before that kind of like.
And the funny thing is too, it's more high energy too. That's another thing.
Because it's like they're like. Okay, high energy, then they're like, hold on, chill. Here, hit the blunt, nigga. You all over the place. Then they're like, all right, hold on. Hit the LSD now, nigga. You gotta get perked up. Then it's like, chill. Hit the blunt again, nigga. Like, you bug it. Like, no, hold on. Here's some dust now. Like, it's like all over. You're like going through so many emotions and shit. Like,
right. Yep. And then shout out to Quick made the beat on, DJ Quick made the beat on that song too. So yeah, shout out to Quick.
Yeah.
Again, underrated. That dude needs to get his flowers too, but, you know, hopefully in time he will. You know what I'm saying? So what? So we have 8 across the boards for Didn't Mean to Turn You On?
Yeah.
All right. Number 5 for Sunset Park. Are You Ready by Aaliyah?
9. I want to say 10. A 9. And I give it a 9.
I mean, honestly, I think I gave that a 7. It was cool.
Yeah, it was. It's not one of Aaliyah's best songs, but I mean, it's a very 90s song. No question about that shit. Like, 90s era of Aaliyah. Like,
it sounds like the general consensus of what Aaliyah's song sounds like.
Yeah, I felt like it wasn't like a, like, you see how like with Dog Pound and Tupac and all, some of these niggas MC, like, they like these niggas are giving like they heavy songs, like they best songs.
She gave her a little not throwaway, but you know, kind of like a.
Yeah, they was also like, Aaliyah, you want to be on Sunset Park? Like, yeah. You know that one B-side track we was working on? Like, yeah. Throw that out there.
I said, given that, because I've been lately on the league. I've been playing Aaliyah a lot lately, so I'm kind of feeling.
Yeah, because mid-90s Aaliyah, because this was after the R. Kelly shit and before she found Timbaland, you know. So she was working with a whole bunch of different producers. And this one, that beat was made by KG, who's underrated as fuck, you know, KG, you know, from Naughty by Nature, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was one of those ones. It was just like, it was just what it was. It was cool, but it wasn't anything special from Aaliyah, you know what I mean? It was just a good offering. So yeah, 7, it's a perfectly acceptable song, which is what a 7 is to me. You know, 7 pilot, P-Pilot, what was your scores again?
I'll give it an 8, actually.
8.
Word. Yeah, 7, 8 is cool, yeah. Like I say, Aaliyah would make better stuff down the line or whatever, you know. Let's
see. You better intro this next song the right way, nigga.
Well, no, it's not. It's 6, bro. It's not. It's not what you think it is, bro.
Oh, okay.
yeah. Number 6 is Doggy Style.
I fucked with that. That was an 8 to me. That was an 8.
See, it was okay. I mean, to me, it was like a 7. 7. It was one of the pieces in there that it's just. It never really hit.
Cause it felt like a soundtrack song, like y'all could see that in a movie. I don't know, it had a little vibe. It was catchy, like it was cool, like.
Yeah, you know, it probably just fit some sort of internal theme that was probably going on there, because you know this nigga Dr. Dre executive produced the album, so he probably was like, this has Doggy Style in here, we're gonna put this shit in here, you know, that type of shit. You know, this nigga Dr. Dre was a deviant, you know what I mean? So that's probably what it was. Like, he probably ended up, but yeah, it's just one of the songs that it's there, but it doesn't do it never did anything for me, not even back then and not even now. So yeah, 7. You know. Like, if that was cut off,
it ain't the worst song on the album to me, though. I give you that.
No, like, it's not.
Like, I fucked with it. Like, it at least it kind of flows. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it ain't like a standout joint. Like, I'm not gonna put on Above the Rim and go to that song first. Like,
right, right. Oh man! All right, number 6 for Sunset Park. It's All Right by Groove Theory. Nigga, I used to love that chick from Groove Theory, yo.
It's all right. Dude, I gave this a 7. This was cool.
Amil LaRue or whatever, LaRue. Amil LaRue, she was so fun.
7.
Her voice is so beautiful. She should have been more talented. She should have been bigger. Pause. She should have been bigger than she was, I felt like. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah.
Why are you using pause for women?
Like, yeah, I love that.
This is the problem. Y'all overdo the pause thing.
Yeah. Pause. I'll give it an 8.
Yeah.
I love her voice, though. I think she had one of the beautiful, you know.
I think Groove Fairy was like a one album wonder,
really a one hit. I mean, really a one hit. I mean, they had other records on.
No, they had a couple more. They had
some bangers.
You know, but I'm saying, tell me, was it their one big hit? Is what I'm saying.
Hold on, Groove Theory was not a one hit wonder.
That's tell me,
they were a one album wonder. Yeah,
that's not true at all.
Yeah, they had
Keep Trying was a hit too.
Yeah, it was.
They only had one album, but that one album had some songs.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, Groove Theory.
They were Digital Planets.
Actually, they had more than that. You know, but yeah, they were probably a one hit wonder.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yes, the number 7, again, like this was the lead off fucking single for the soundtrack. You know what I mean? Regulate by Warren G featuring Nate Dogg. This was the
Regulators.
I gotta give that a 1. I gotta
give that a 10 is stupid. Like this is like a, it's more like a 15.
Yeah, it's a 15. Nigga.
It's like, a 20. Yeah, it's a dub, man. It's a fun classic.
Warren G needs to let Warren G save Def Jam. Warren G, that song is the reason.
Save the soundtrack too, nigga. Nah,
yeah. Warren G is the reason why Above the Rim soundtrack went double plat, and why his own debut went like 3 or 4 or 5 times plat, somewhere around there. It went multi plat and saved Def Jam. Yeah, what? Henny got Above the Rim to the best movie soundtrack era. Meets the Purple Rain.
That last verse when he says, "I'm tweaking to a whole new era." That's beautiful music, bro.
The rhythm is the bass, and the bass is the treble.
Chords,
strings, we bring melody. G funk. Rhythms like this. Like you smoke like the pilot. Like every day.
That's just so hard. Just the whole storytelling with that song.
It's funny you think you say that, Pat, because like that's actually one of those what if things for me. Because because he came close to signing Def Row, and it's like, what if Warren G went to Def Row instead?
He would have gotten punked. Yeah, like there was. I remember there was a Nate Dogg interview that he did. I remember Nate Dogg saying that because Regulate blew up and they were on tour or whatever. But for whatever reason, Sugar's like, "Yo," like made Nate Dogg come off the tour, and it's like, "Yo, I'm getting this tour money. What are you doing?" And he made him come off the tour for something, and he and Warren G had to do that song without Nate on that, like had to do like the vocal back in. And Nate is like, "Yo, Sugar cost me a lot of money taking off that tour," Suge was a man that has so many personal failings, for what he did accomplish. But
that's like the most successful flawed nigga in the world.
I'm saying, you can't go on Regulate with Michael McDonald. I remember too, I was listening to late night radio, and I swear, and I only heard this one time, there was a country music version of Regulate, like a whole country music version of that shit. And I only heard that shit once, but it was clear as day. Like, dude had a twang in his voice and everything singing that shit. And I'm over here like, and this is, this is before, internet and Napster and shit like that. Like, I was hoping that maybe this would be one of the things I would catch on here. Never did. And when I got Napster, I tried looking for that version. I know it fucking exists somewhere. And I was like,
yeah, you got me on the YouTube this motherfucker right now.
I used to tell people this all the time. It's like, nigga, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, no, there was a whole country music version of this shit. Like, I wasn't capping. Like, this
actually, hold on. I think you're right. I think I've actually heard that now that you mentioned it.
It was years. My own up. It was a clear night. Hold on.
Yeah, it sounded like it was
Dragalay Country Remix. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, shit. It was just like in the
Morgan club. Wallen.
It was just like in the club had all those remix, had a reggaeton remix, and I couldn't believe that shit until I heard it. And I'm just like, yeah, like, nah. Like, Yeah, I'm gonna sit down even with that shit playing in the club. Like, nah. Honestly, if your score's not between 15 and 20 out of 10, like, honestly, you just need to take your ass to the side, you know.
Salute. What it do, Henny God? What it do? Above the Rim, the best movie soundtrack next to Purple Rain. Murder Was the Case up there, too. The Tupac tracks on Above the Rim, all fire.
And the funny thing is, Murder Was the Case wasn't even an actual movie. I mean, it was a mini movie, but the fact that it had so much fire coming from that soundtrack, you know, like, yeah. I mean, we'll probably talk about that soundtrack one day, like, you know.
Murder Was the Case?
The Murder Was the Case soundtrack, yeah.
Death Row, like, honestly, we need to just talk about how Death Row be having the best five soundtracks.
Yo, facts, like, yeah.
Cause they up there. Like, I mean, you got the Grit, the Gang Related, the Above the Rim, Murder Was the Case. Like,
yeah.
What other label got three like hard ass soundtracks like that?
Yeah, they were rolling, man. Again, Suge, man. Like, Suge was successful, but god damn it, that nigga had some personal failings that fucked up his long term success. Like,
it's so much shit, bro. Like, mm-hmm. At this point, I can't even put it all on Suge. It's like, mm-hmm. It's like Suge, yeah, that's who we go, but it's like so many different things. There's so many failing parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's crazy. But man, they made some good fucking music for that era, though. Jeez.
They did, though, but yeah. Shout out to Warren G, man. Hope Warren G gets the masters to regulate, man. And really get some bread off that. All right, next track for number 7, "Elements I'm Among" by Queen Latifah. Yo,
that was a 10.
Yeah, Queen Latifah in the mid '90s. Yo, again, like, you know, she was. I mean, I know most people.
She was spitting on this.
Yeah, she was spitting her ass off. Shout out to Easy Mo B on the beat. Again, another motherfucker that seemed that Puff kind of fucked up his career, though. You know, that's why you don't hear Mo B anymore like that. You know what I'm saying? Because Mo B didn't want to do something that Puff wanted him to do. So, you know, that's what happened, though. But Queen Latifah was, you know, Queen Latifah mid-90s was a fucking beast at that time. Like,
so, I ain't gonna lie. I haven't heard this song in so long. I'm gonna give this a 10 because Queen Latifah went fucking berserk on this record. I ain't gonna lie.
She did, yeah. She was
blacked out crazy. I was like, what the fuck, Queen? But yeah, 10. This is 10.
Yeah. P, what was your score? P. King P.
For the Queen Latifah song?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was 9. I give it a 9.
Okay. Well, 9.
Somebody hate women.
What's up?
Nothing.
No, I didn't hear you. I legitimately didn't.
I said somebody hate women, nigga. Damn. Fuck, it's a 10, nigga. You up here like 9. Jeez.
Yeah, no. Queen Latifah, yo, there, she absolutely killed that fucking song.
Like. Yeah, like she was angry.
She was trying to paint a message perfectly. Yeah, that was beautiful.
A lot of niggas had they snapping songs on this soundtrack, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Sure did. And let's see. All right, Above the Rim. So the next song, again, a classic. Pour Out a Little Liquor. Tupac, Thug Life. Shout out to Johnny. You know, rest in peace to Johnny J. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and
yeah, it,
easy 10. Easy 10.
Paul, can you hear me? Which record?
Pour Out a Little Liquor.
Oh, that's a 10 for sure.
Yeah, that's a 10.
Was that the Thug Life album, right?
Yeah, I give that a 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that shit is a pure classic. That's a classic Tupac track. Like, yeah, now you're reaching like the point of the Above the Rim soundtrack where it's like, okay, like you're getting like the good shit. the classic shit.
Yeah, only for them to pull the rug right out of you.
Yeah, like it goes on like a good 4-song run right here. Like
it does.
This is starting to get to the part where Lucy pulls the football from Charlie Brown. Like you're expecting more good stuff, and then whap.
And part of the game where like Mario Chalmers start getting too many possessions, and then let him take the ball down the court too many times, and you're like, look, nigga, Wade, LeBron, they're right there. Like, even
he's waving LeBron.
Ray Allen's over here.
You're
waving the ball up,
blowing the ISO.
Yeah, you're like, damn. Like, you know that turnover is coming up, coming soon, since you're like,
damn. Yeah, because I know that song, I mean, that song plays in the movie, like, in the end, near the end. Obviously, if you haven't watched the movie, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but, you know.
It's 30 years.
I mean, that nigga said, I mean, above the rim, like, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, it, I mean, it fit the end scene, though, I will say.
Yeah, we'll spoil the movie that we just watched, like, a week ago that just came out. But this nigga don't want to spoil above the rim. Y'all niggas in this 90s shit, man. This nigga's like, nah, we can't spoil this. There's some kid out there that need to see above the rim in its, like, purest form.
You see me,
this nigga. Rome needs to go see fucking above the rim. This nigga don't be seeing no classic.
That's fucked up.
I don't know if he's seen that or not. I gotta ask.
No, he hasn't. No, he.
And he hasn't.
No, this nigga thought. I was talking about white man can't jump, nigga. Like,
he thought. Yeah, he thought in the chat the other day. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, this nigga, you gotta show this nigga some classic black. This nigga was talking this like Mike shit. Like, the fuck.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's seen Belly. He's seen Shaxxers. Did he see Dead Presidents? Like, you need to see that. Oh,
yeah. This is a, but he's a basketball nigga. He don't, two quintessential black
basketball. Does he play? But he a real football nigga. He played basketball more. Like, cause you gotta understand in Florida, like everybody's like a basketball nigga. Cause like there's so many parks here. Like we're always balling and shit and playing ball. So, but nah, that nigga's a football nigga. So. Maybe there's a football movie soundtrack, but I don't think the program and Necessary Roughness had one, ain't it?
They did, but they weren't, you know, they weren't urban.
They weren't like, I mean, like, the basketball soundtracks were like booming back in the day.
Right.
Niggas weren't making music for no fucking football. And he's like,
I can't even recall it. You know, because a football movies were a genre too, like a little later in the 90s.
Any Given Sunday.
You know.
Yeah, well, Any Given Sunday might have, I think.
Yeah, that does have a soundtrack, I believe.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there was no, like, water. Nobody even fucking cared for the Waterboy soundtrack.
Yeah. Waterboy did have a soundtrack, didn't it?
No, honestly, in general, you just had more fucking sport movies. Like,
right.
Even tennis had some fucking movies, nigga, with Point Break. Like, like, you had the Mighty Ducks, nigga. You had, like... Like, you had sports movies all just the as a
movies. Yeah, I mean, sport in general, sports movies were a fucking genre in the 90s, right? So sports movies.
Now these fucking kids don't play sports and shit, or they get participation trophies, so you can't make a soundtrack.
We're getting to the point where it's fucking, like streaming, you know, streamers are a fucking genre movie, you know what I'm saying? Like,
like, the fuck, back in the day, it was on some, like, you know, shit, fucking roller skate had movies, like...
Oh, man, but yeah.
Fucking surfing had movies, nigga, like...
Yo, facts.
Like, that's how bad it is. And karate had movies.
Facts.
Every hobby had a damn fucking movie, nigga.
Every single one.
Where? All right. Next track number 8 from Sunset Park. Again, the classic and the one and the lead single off it. Keep on keeping on by MC Light and Escape. Shout out to
10. MC Light bodied that.
Fucking 10.
That was a fucking 10. MC Light
really bodied that shit. And
I've been looking for your ass for a quarter pair.
Yo, that song.
Yeah, Light bodied that.
Yo, that song was fucking everywhere. It was low key everywhere. Like you heard that shit because it sampled Liberian Girl from Michael Jackson. So it had that, you know, had that. It was a rap. Like, you know,
keep on.
Yo, Escape again. Like, you know, they knew, like, yeah. Again, they need their flowers, even though, I mean, Tiny, I mean, most people know Tiny is doing all that fuckery shit, but Tiny was part of real classic shit.
She can sing shit. Yeah.
I mean, Candy, the only one that's really just popping still, but that's because of the shows, and she's super business.
Yeah, for stuff other than music, but.
Yeah.
And then the Scott sisters are beefing with each other, so it's like... You know, it's
breaked up now. This, nah, that's 10. MC Light really bodied that shit.
Yeah, no, yeah. MC Light had, you know, like I said, you know, it was cool her having such a
That's a 10.
Yeah, hit late in her career, but yeah, that's an easy 10. You know, right there. Let's see. Okay, back to Above the Rim, and yes, number 9. Gonna Give It to You, Jewel featuring Aaron Hall.
10.
Yeah, 10.
That's a fucking 10.
Yeah, I'll give it a 10. This shit sounds like, I mean, it sounds like a you know, it's Black Love, but it sounds like a church choir singing that shit. It's a 10. It just sounds
like Joel's voice is so fucking powerful. Just the singing on that, like,
yeah, the singing was crazy on that.
God damn. Now, you know, you got to be blowing to really overpower Aaron Hall's voice.
Like, you know, Mr. Dum Dum today, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. That, you don't make fucking duets like that no more. Like, jeez.
Yo,
like,
honestly, this is where, again, Shook fucked up by not putting out a Joel album. And there's one that there's an unreleased album that's been floating around. That's fire. You know what I'm saying? But Joel is one of the Defro artists that should have had an album out. She should have had an album around that time period. Like,
that's why they had to do all them soundtracks, because it was like, damn, you gotta feed these niggas too. Like, hold on. Like, get them in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucked up that Joel's biggest hit was something that she didn't even get paid for, because she was on for the Love of Money, because Easy kind of took her voice for the hook and didn't pay. Didn't pay her for that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Joel, rest in peace to Joel too. She passed from heart failure or some shit like that. So
she was
a fucking talent. Like, you know, but yeah, that was an easy 10. Like, yeah, they don't make duets like that no more. Even just, and that was,
yeah. Now, I was gonna say, I feel like Above the Rim got like the better R&B songs. Like,
they did. Yeah. And the next song, this is the type of song that I would tease LB about, because it's the 90s, you know, Florida Bama shit, you know. But it was dope.
Why it gotta be Bama shit, nigga? Like,
I mean,
like I say, what hip hop contributions have Connecticut made?
Hey, nigga, never mind. Nigga,
and Tasha. Yo, Tasha blowing up on TikTok. She be doing a little re-singing of that shit. Like, I seen the little video. That's fire. So salute, Marquise. Yeah,
Tasha from the Bone Thugs joint?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. I seen a little video. It's just like, she's naming all of them and all of their pictures are appearing. Like, she was kind of fire. Like,
yeah. No, I was putting the fuck out the Sunday trailer. I was like, damn. I heard she actually just randomly came out of nowhere and she sang the hook. You know what I'm saying? And the rest was just,
I was like, yo. Like, that's it. That's her. Like,
but then the next but yeah, this was actually this, like, the second single from Sunset Park, Hoop in Your Face by 69 Boys and Quad City DJs. You know, this is that.
I'll give it a 7.
Hoop All in Your Face is a 10.
I mean, it is, because it I mean, yeah, I'll give it a 10, because honestly, it encompasses
it embodied the whole fucking, it's the one song off of both albums that's like a basketball song.
It's a basketball song. Maybe
I'll give it a 10.
Y'all
ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready.
We ain't ready. Like, that's just a 10. Fuck that. Like,
that was
a soundtrack song supposed to be like, really. Like,
yeah.
You got niggas damn talking about fucking and smoking and just dogging and regulating and nigga, this basketball, like, goddamn.
Yeah, but I can only do so much Quad City DJs, so yeah, no, this one is not it for me.
I mean, good thing they didn't executive produce an album and they're on every song.
Yeah. So, P, I take it you weren't a fan of Miami bass music, booty shaking music.
No, yes, but not like Quad City DJs. No, like, some of their stuff was like, yeah, no. Only a couple of their songs, but I've heard quite a bit of them, and do not really my thing.
You had to be there.
Yeah.
It's an era of music. It's like, yeah. You're too, I mean, young.
I heard too much. Like, I can only hear so much before that before I start getting annoyed, but.
Yeah, definitely Eric. Like, because that song does encompass Sunset Park. Like, so that's why.
I'll give it a 7.
So we got 2 10s, a 7, and Pilot, what was your score? This nigga stepped away again.
Oh, my fault. Yeah, well, come again.
Well, what was your score again for Hoop in Your Face?
7. I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is. LB, this is definitely an era for us, because it's...
I'd probably appreciate it more. So, you know,
yeah, it's definitely... This is one song, it's definitely an era.
They never had the hoop. They never hooped in a nigga face before. Like, come on. Like, y'all ain't ready. Y'all weren't ready. Shit. Like, y'all weren't ready at all. Nigga, like... Yeah, like, there's some of us that, like, we look forward to PE and damn recess and shit. Like, about that... Yeah, I think he's out there.
P and Reese's with the shit. It wasn't really my thing. I don't know.
Yeah, Marquise, yeah. They never had that hoop it up tourney. Yes. They never
did. Exactly. These little niggas, hell no, I know damn hoop it up. Like, when's the last time y'all niggas even dribbled a basketball? Not connected to a damn Xbox or PS4 controller. Or PS5 controller. What the fuck is out now?
I play ball all my life. I'm just a huge fan. Yeah. Basketball in high school and shit. I'm just saying, like, for the team and shit. I'm just saying, I wasn't a huge fan of
last time I dribbled a ball, pause, was like, I think the beginning of September.
God damn. And what'd you do with it? Did you shoot it or you just dribbled it?
Both. Pause. Did you
shoot it? Double pause, huh?
I don't have the benefit of having warm weather all year round, so I'm not
hooping. Oh, yeah, I forgot New York don't even have indoor gyms, right?
Yeah, nobody's hooping in January. Like, that is not happening.
So. Boo, that's why Florida, New York.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you got more motherfuckers from New York come to live in Florida than vice versa. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because it's warm all year round.
Also, being warm cancels out all that other shit y'all be bragging about.
Two, and this is the big one, no income tax.
Yeah,
New York, we get taxed out the wazoo. So going down to a state.
Y'all get paid for that tax, though. Niggas don't pay Florida niggas shit down here. That's why they be like, all right, no tax. It's like Fist of the North Star down here. Y'all just get it out, y'all live. Like, fuck it. I'm a run around, we give y'all guns and racism and problems. But we will make sure y'all could train and be athletic because there's a park on every corner.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole, like plot of a movie, nigga. Am I lying? That sounds like you could screenplay over that motherfucker, man.
Let's give everybody guns, drugs, and parks and gyms. Niggas are literally like being stronger killers and shit.
Yo, yeah, because Florida be turning out them athletes going, God damn it, yo.
You know what I'm saying?
Seriously,
you can't help it. Like, come on.
Alright, I'll say, so Above the Rim, track number 10. Again, a classic Afro Puss by the Lady of Rage featuring Snoop Dogg.
I'm hitting niggas like, who are you?
10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah. 10, nigga. How bad? That's a fucking 10. Like, 10. Lady of Rage classic.
Yeah, 10. Afro Puss, 10.
Yeah. Honestly, some of these chicks that rap and say, they need to listen to that shit and how to actually really rap. Like,
Hearing
MC Light, Lady of Rage, and the Queen Latifah tracks, I'm like, god damn, the Double the 90s, that whole we don't the 90s, that's fuck that shit, because these women were spitting like, better than most niggas these days. I'm just like,
exactly.
Probably all these niggas these days. I'm just saying.
You could make the argument that the women's songs on the album are the best songs on both albums. You can literally say, you know what? The fucking MC Light is the best song off Sunset Park. You could say fucking Lady of Rage, Duel, whatever. Them songs is the top. Like, they're tens. Mm-hmm. You can make the argument, so yeah. Like, shout out to the ladies in the 90s. You know what I mean,
yeah, Rage, it killed that shit. So yeah, that's a 10. That might even be a 12 because everything about that shit was even the scoop of the outro, the endo blow in the grass, girl. Snoop Dogg, I still don't love a hoe.
Like, so believable, yeah, that was crazy.
And like, how Snoop was just stuttered on this album. Like, he wasn't all over the place. Like, he was just on certain tracks. They didn't really big him up, but. You knew he was there, like, exactly. That's just dope. Like,
Because having a rub on Snoop Dogg in the 90s, especially on the Rage track, that was still huge. Cause, I mean, that was a huge song for Rage. Again, Shug should have capitalized and put the album out. We don't get album until 1997 when it's like, yeah. And although good, it got no promotion, so it flopped.
Yeah, it was too much shit going on. Like,
yeah. I got one video out of that. No, yeah, it was a goddamn shame. But classic as classic can be. All right, number 10 for Sunset Park. For the Funk, Dina Howard. Look, this is where my bias shows because I love Adina Howard.
It was a 7 for me.
Yeah, but Adina Howard in 96, yeah, no.
Adina Howard was fine, bro. Like, I don't know
if she's a... I'm going to give it
a... Adina Howard in 96 was fine.
Pat, what score are you giving it, Pat? What score are you giving it?
Nigga, that might be that's a 9 to me.
I might give it a 9. I thought the song was kind of hard. I'm going to give it a 9, too.
Yeah, I mean, except for George playing One Nation Under the Groove. Like, you know, and it's and Adina Howard... As sexy as she was, she could actually sing, you know, but she kind of killed her career by not laying off a music executive's boyfriend. That's, you know, she said it on her own unsung special. That's the reason why her career kind of died in the 90s, you know, but
God, yeah, damn, well, after a week of boom, boom, through the night to the early.
Nigga, that was a fucking hit. Like,
I'm saying that was great. And then everything after that to me is just like,
Nigga, that song, the video for that song was like porn to me. I was like, good lord, like there was them bitches were like
that was the 90s WAP. That was WAP before WAP.
It was though, but it was even more. It's beautiful that it didn't have was really a nympho like that. That was the whole thing. I was just like, god damn it, yo, her and Patra and Michelle Thomas, rest in peace, and Vivica Fox, y'all. The 90s were spectacular, yo. For women's, like they were spectacular. God damn it, yo! About to go back memory lane. Let me stop.
Yeah, Pat gonna have a
90s overload.
it wasn't a bad song. Like, I mean, it was a perfectly acceptable song. But I like Adina Howard, so it was a 9 for me. So
6, 7,
Pilot.
Adina Howard, right? 9. I give it a 9.
Oh, okay, yeah, good. Good man. Good. Yeah, so you know.
I'm an R&B head, man. I'll be some slow dance.
There you go. Say it with your chest, Pilot. All right, see. Next track from Above the Rim. Just So You Know, CPO Boss Hog. This is where it gets into...
This was a 6. It's okay.
5.
But it's like,
It's a 6 to me, and because Boss Hogg used to make these appearances on Death Row albums a lot. Like he was, he was cool, but this is not one of his cool songs.
Yeah, it's just a 6. It's there. It's okay. It got a little thump to it. Nothing special. That's all.
Yeah, they should have kept him off this one. This is a 5.
But this is definitely when we talking about the album, it just start kind of go down here.
Mm-hmm. And Marquis, the track was whack though. It wasn't like, I mean, like he's made better stuff, but yeah, that song was just like it was a 6. It was a 6 track. Like if it was removed, it would enhance the soundtrack. Like
because if you put an album together, I feel like if any song is below a 7, it's like it probably don't belong.
Right. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? And, okay, we're going to number 11, Sunset Park. We Don't Need It, Junior Mafia.
Oh, that's a 10. That was my joy.
Yo, honestly, like, the fun thing is too, it's like, I mean, just by listening, you could tell who wrote that shit. That was Big's handwriting all over that shit.
Yeah, I mean, that was obvious.
And so that's why it made certain bars like, god damn, Big was probably smoking like a motherfucker that day in this shit. Like,
the beat was smooth, like the lyrics are kind of witty.
Yeah.
9 out of 10. And
I want some pussy tonight. I'm like,
like that shit. You don't want it.
That was a 10. Yo, honestly, had Big lived, Junior Mafia would have been far more than what they became. Well, they died with. Well, I mean, C's and Kim obviously reached out. C's debut was okay.
Pretty decent ass and bangers.
Yeah, but I don't know who wrote that album, but I don't think it was C's. C's says he wrote that shit. I'm like, nah, that's. No, that perhaps.
They had one album worth of rhymes.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Lil Kim joint, right?
Yeah, We Don't Need It.
Yeah, that was a little. I mean, Lil Kim was caught me off guard listening to her fucking graphic ass verse. I'm gonna give that an 8, though.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I mean, that's all.
Yeah, I forgot Pilot, you know, he had the kid ears over
there. No. I mean, I'm just saying, I forgot how graphic
this nigga was like, Mom, no!
I forgot how graphic that bitch was sometimes. Caught me off guard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean.
The whole song is graphic.
Yeah,
Dick to Joe. You drink your baby to one of him and be stricken. Yes, the wild to come pull your chest low. If not, then you not. That would be like the nigga was named the crew and everything. Like, I fucked with that song. Like, that was dope.
I mean, the hook itself would probably play well in certain in alternative lifestyle clubs, like on some real shit.
Yeah. I honestly, like, this the one song that fits this era.
Yeah, seriously. You know what I'm saying?
You can hear a Sexy Red song, Cardi B song, and if this come on right after it, probably gonna be, you don't know any better, you're gonna be like, yo, who these new niggas? Like, yo, you heard what Shorty said? Like,
I mean, this nigga Big was talking about licking butts and shit. Like, this nigga was, you know, Big was a wild dude with that pen.
Yeah, like, these niggas was on something. Like, nigga felt dirty after listening to that. I'd be like,
But it was a dope song, though. But Big, yeah. you know, Big used to write some real.
I mean, because there was fucking in Sunset Park. You know what I mean,
yeah, they was. You know,
they had his song.
But yeah, no, that's absolutely a 10, though, straight up and down. And then number 12. This was my least favorite song on this shit. Hoochie's Need Love Too by Paradise.
Well, I think I gave that like a 5.
That was get out of here. This was
this should have been fucking gone.
Three.
That's the wackiest song on here.
Yeah, and this and fucking thing is that Daz produced that joint. Daz and Havoc.
Go figure. They did the two best producers for two rap groups. Yeah. Could have saved this shit. From two different coasts.
Yeah, it's
y'all literally put RZA and Dr. Dre on a record and y'all couldn't do nothing with it. No, they fuck it. I give up.
No, that song was just it was just whack because it was just it was on some Hoes Need Love Too song. Like, what the fuck? I knew as a teenager that shit was wrong. Like,
like, Dad, hold it. This song is saying hoes need love. Like, yeah, don't listen to that bullshit.
I know, right? I was like, yeah, that. I mean, I used to think that was a walk. That was a fast forward. You know?
Yeah. We all know we don't love them hoes. What the fuck? Yeah. Now they need love. Like,
yeah, they need to get the fuck up out of there with that shit. That should have been cut. Like they could have fit, you know, the later three songs, which we'll get to in a little bit, on that shit. They could have took that bullshit off. Like, seriously. Like, get the fuck up out of there. Get the fuck up out of that shit.
Yeah.
Alright, let's see. Number 12. All of It by Big Fucking Mike.
10.
Big 10. Fucking Mike. Big Mike is so fucking underrated. Like, honestly, like, yo.
And that beat, lyrically, I'm supposed to, like, that sample, like, that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, I used to listen to the CD and I'll go right to that song first, then go back to number one.
Yo, Big Mike, yo, because I had something serious and still serious back in the day, bro. Like, Something Serious was like, it's a fucking classic to me. Like, Big Mike, yo, honestly, Big Mike don't get the props he deserves, yo. And
ain't he one lyricist that they hear one time for Source?
Southern lyricist or some shit like that? Or was it just absolutely...
I don't know. So I thought he won something, lyricist something one time for Source. But yeah, Big Mike gets underrated, underappreciated.
Yeah, like, yeah. Nigga, that nigga is a classic, yo. P, Pilot, what about you? All of It.
Jen.
Yeah, 10. Around the dollars of 10.
Yeah, like, Big Mike, yo. Like, yo, shout out to Big Mike, yo. Yeah, that was... Yo, like, honestly, like, this is what I said. Sunset Park was just a hodgepodge of all the shit of the day. Like, it was still flowing. The soundtrack is still flowing by this point. Like, yeah, that big.
Yeah, like, Sunset Park ain't never really had a dip. Like, it, like, the, I think the lowest song I've given it, like, was like a 7. Like, which is tolerable, which is like, okay, because I feel like 7 is a rating where. It's above average. It's well above average, mm-hmm. but it might not be everybody's favorite.
Right,
but it's a good enough song where it's like, all right, you might really like it, or you might just like it. That's where 7 is. Whereas 8, 9, and 10 is like, okay, that's, you for sure fuck with this. This is a good song. So, right. Yeah. Whereas Above the Rim wasn't really given that every go out. Like.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of that, for Above the Rim, like, the next song after Hoochies Need Love 2 was I'm Still in Love with You by Al B. Sure. Again, a song.
Five.
Yeah.
Damn, light skin crime. God damn.
I mean, this was a 6 to me, but it didn't really fit for this album.
Yeah, that was weird. Hearing Al B. Real quick, was this an Al B. Sure song from 96 or was it, like, you know, like, was it from a few years ago before that?
I mean, this was 94, so I mean, he might be. I mean, Al B. Sure was, yeah, I mean, Al B. Sure was still making music, okay. But he was washed by this.
He did not. But if you say washed Al B. Sure over that generic B, yeah. I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah, it's the most out of place song, actually.
Yeah, like this is not like night and day Al B. Sure, where the nigga was like, you know, where nigga was like ushering the light skin renaissance and shit, made you nigga light skin niggas win for a minute.
Nigga, we still winning. Fuck that.
Nah, nigga, fuck that. Now y'all ain't winning anymore, bro.
Yeah, we are, nigga. Like, how many undefeated boxers we got? How many, like, singers we get, like, nigga?
y'all got Drake. Okay, I got you. Yeah, y'all got Drake.
Bro. Man, he don't count.
But yeah, no, I'll be sure. Yeah, he, like, this, again, he was the New York influence on this shit, you know, because, you know, so I guess they had to put him on there. He was
like, throw one of them singing the R&B New York niggas on here. Like, all right.
Yeah, but yeah, no, he just.
And although this song, this album was needing Montel Jordan. Like.
Well, I mean, he would
come this up. Is how we do it.
Yeah, there's a few niggas in 94 you could have put over Washed Al B. Sure, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, yeah. Al B. Sure didn't belong on there anymore. Like, yeah, he was like a two-song.
He was still a name. He was still a name, I guess. You know, like, oh, Al B., you know.
Yeah, he was a New York name. That's why it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, we had too much West Coast niggas here. Like, we need, what's good? What's really good? Like, we have an East Coast nigga on here. Like, what's.
Could have just had two Aaron Paul songs if that was the case. Like, shit.
Right.
They say, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let's throw him back on there. You know what? Your man Jewel's got to, like, let's do a little EP of these.
Word. But, all right, let's see. Next song, number 13, Sunset Park. Things Change, Onyx. Onyx! 10. Yeah, that was a 10.
Fucking 10.
I'm going to give it a 9. It's a hard record, though. I'm going to give it a 9. I give it a 9.
It's a 10.
Yo, Onyx is one of those groups that probably should have died in their first album because it was so gimmicky, even though the shit was hard.
No, they shouldn't have. No, they shouldn't have. That's bullshit.
Nigga,
yeah, like, I don't know what he's trying to say right there, yo.
Yeah, like sure, because like I said, because the second and the third albums, like, they didn't get the, I mean, they were better albums than the first album.
Like you said, the second one had Last Days. Like, come on.
Yeah, but none of them had Slam.
And then if you heard the remix,
they didn't need to have Slam. It was different, actually.
Yeah, that's no, why because I you had because the album because I had the first album. Like, the first album is very, the production is very not where it needs to be.
No, the production kills that album, and not in a good way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but they were also gimmicky with the whole Slam shit because, you know, that was the whole gimmick. But then. They matured on the second album. That's the second album era. Thankfully,
because
it just ain't produced like the big smash crossover single. Yeah. That's all. But they was musically better as a whole.
Yeah.
After the first album.
That's what I'm getting at. Like they like you know because you know they could have been gimmick albums.
They evolved their gimmick. Thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah, and they made better music. Like, they just didn't sound like the first album.
There was only room for one that could just keep doing their gimmick throughout the years of Onyx and M.O.P. Like, can't have them both doing the same thing.
Right, yo. But yeah, Things Change, yo. I mean, obviously, because whatchamacallit is in the movie anyways. Frederick Starr is in the movie, so he's, yeah. So, of course, it was only right for him to actually get a song on the soundtrack. So... Yeah, no, Onyx, you know, classic. That was a classic song. Let's see. The next song from Above the Rim was Crack 'Em by OFTP.
Trash. And, get it out of here. 3.
I mean, OFTP was hard. Like, I mean, them niggas was
OFTP was hard. but not their best song. I gave it a 6. Like, it's cool, not but a good song.
I'm giving it a 4. I'm giving it a 4.
That's I give it a 8.
This is not a good song.
Yeah, we all over the place with this one. We got 2 4s, a 6, and an 8. God damn.
Yeah, I actually, no, I thought it was well, fine.
I said 3. Get it out of
here. Oh, 3. Okay, my man. No. Marquise, he says operating from the bottom. Hmm. If you want to hear one of the better songs, they got a song. It's unreleased with Tupac, and it's featuring Corrupt and Gaddafi and Tupac. Time After Time, like, classic OFTB song. And then they got another one with Snoop and Corrupt, like, another classic. Like, OFTB is dope. Like, it just, this ain't one of the better offers.
Whatever the fuck this was not it.
I think Quick did the beat on that song too.
Well, so, that this was a waste of a beat. Sorry, Quick. No,
beat wasn't even that hot though. Beat was just cool. This was just an okay, like, song. Like, it was just, it's still part of the whole. It's part of the mid pack of that album. Like, but it's at the end of it where it's like, okay, it's a 6. It's trying to fight out of this damn box, like. But I don't know. This is OFTB might be an acquired taste for you youngins.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, because I used to tell, like, I listen to a lot of West.
I'm aware of who OFTB is. I know who they are, but this was not it at all.
I mean, I listened to a lot of West Coast shit back then. OFTP was, I thought it was dope because it actually brought the energy. It was actually one of the more energetic songs on the fucking album as a whole. You know, and there's an actual video for it too. Like, believe it or not, like they never played it because it has a lot of gang shit in it.
Yeah, like that was real gang niggas. Yeah,
One of them,
these dudes were basically banging on wax.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why Suge signed them. Basically, they were. You know, again, Suge, but they were talented though. They weren't just niggas that were just gang banging. Like, them niggas.
Yeah.
Could, you know, the niggas could spit, like, you know, but, you know, life imitates art, you know what I mean?
OFTB, Worldwide Stampede, can give you motherfuckers what they need, outlaw, to the day we die. OFTB, shout out to OFTB.
Yeah. You know, and then the final track on Sunset Park 2, which was an instrumental, Shorty's Game by Miles Goodman. And, you know, Miles Goodman is a legendary composer, you know, but like I said, it was there. I mean, I don't know if you want to rate the song, rate what it was. I mean,
It's a 6, nigga.
Pretty sure he passed away, like, shortly after this.
Yeah, he shortly, yeah. Like, you know, I mean, because that was in the movie. Like, it was in the movie a good bit of it. But
DJ Rogers, a great voice. He did. He was the original version of The Faithful, you know, by Common, the sample. You know what I'm saying? Legendary singer to me.
But yeah, if there's one flaw in the Sunset Park, is it ended with that. It should have ended with an actual song rather than an instrumental. But it was what it was. I mean, but at least he had straight consistent heat with Sunset Park. So, you know,
it never fell off too far, and the highs still were staying high. Like,
I ain't gonna lie. Because I never really listened to the album. I mean, obviously, I listened to Above the Rim and Sunset Park. I'm shocked that Sunset Park had this much fire on it. It's a better album. I mean, you could say, to me, better album than Above the Rim soundtrack. I didn't realize it was going to be the case. I thought Above the Rim was going to clear this easy, but I was wrong.
A lot of people think that way because I think Above the Rim was the more popular movie, more popular soundtrack. It just.
More popular singles.
More popular singles. Like, Regulate is like the single of all. It was the Gangsta's Paradise before Gangsta's Paradise. So I get it. But that's why I kind of do the matchups like this, because I be wanting to, like, showcase certain shit that I felt didn't get appreciated or didn't get loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I look at it, and then Pilot's like, damn, I didn't even know this shit was hot like this. Like, okay, like, yeah, see, and that's basically my goal, to make niggas be on some, like, oh shit, like, this is fire. Like, I kind of didn't appreciate this, or I kind of really didn't pay attention like I should have, but okay, I fucks with it. Like,
yeah. So now we get to now it's strictly Above the Rim. Number 15, You Bring the Dog Out by Rhythm and Knowledge. Again, This is my.
Oh, that was an 8 for me. I fucks that. Fucks with
yeah, that. Yeah, it's my. It's a guilty pleasure. Eight. Like I, you bring the dog out of me. Like
it was just a bop. Like that's how. Sometimes you just can't explain it. It just bop. That's it.
And the way you move, na 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 na. That shit was a whole vibe though. Yeah, that shit was an 8 though. Like, because them niggas were singing their asses off. Like,
yeah. They're like, they're really trying to get a deal too. Like,
yeah. Like the melodies, like them niggas were really on, and it wasn't generic. It was just funny, just how they were like.
Yeah, but the beat was catchy. It was just a bop. That shit was hard. Like, yeah.
P pilot.
I'll give it an 8. It
was
cool.
I said an 8.
Oh, okay. Oh, 8 across the boards. All right, that's what it is. Yeah, like I said, it was like it wasn't a bad song. I mean,
it was a good song actually.
It was really good though. But yeah, it's one of those ones. It can be a guilty pleasure too.
Yeah, it's not one of those where I would want to take it off.
Yeah.
Like nah, it's I definitely would leave this one.
No, off. It's a song that belongs on the album. It's, definitely.
But the next song, though, I felt like they could have gotten rid of it, even though Devontae Swing was the one who produced it. Blow It Away by B. Rizelle.
Yeah. This one's always been hit or miss. Like, some days it's a 6, sometimes it's a 7. I'll give it a 7, because it really is one of those smoke and chill, like, it fits the mood. So I give it a 7.
Yeah, the funny thing, too, is, like, I never really... That song was, like, it was... Sometimes I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it, but sometimes it's just like, ugh. I mean, I give it a 5. It's that type of song to me.
Like, there's worse songs. Like, there's like other songs I would take off before I would take this one off. So that's how I kind of feel with it. Like, if I was trying to make it perfect, then I might just take off 11 through 14, or 11 through 13, and then take off this one too.
Right. Right. But yeah, no, I think it was just there to be there, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, it was a filler track. That's basically what it is to me. That's why I give it a 5. Pilot, P?
6, it's alright. It's a cool record, but 6.
P?
Sounds about right. 6.
Yeah, like, it was just there to be there, like, you know. And I never heard of a B Rizelle after this album again. Anyways, it was definitely a nondescript ass shit.
Let's go back to the names.
Yes, numbers. Track 17. It's Not Deep Enough. Jewel, produced by Mr. Delvin. Again, you know, that's a fucking 9 to me. Like that shit, Jewel.
I gave this a 7.
I'll give it an 8.
9.
Jewel fucking killed this song too. Again. This she should have had an album in Death Row. She should have, you know, this should have been a launching pad for her. You know, and then of course Suge made her bitter and shit. Like, you know, it was terrible. You know, but yeah, no, Jewel killed this song, man. Jewel needed the, and she was gangster as fuck too. Jewel was fine as fuck too. Like, yeah, if you ever see the pictures of her on that, goddamn shit. Yeah. Death Row could have done so much more with her. It's a goddamn shame. You know what I'm saying? And then number 18, Dog Pound for Life, the Dog Pound.
Oh, that's a 10, nigga. Easy. That was a 10. Easy 10.
Easy.
One 10. Of the best songs off the album to me.
Absolutely. Again, Dog Pound.
I'll give it a 10.
Dog Pound could do no fucking wrong in this era. Like, none.
Back then, they were, you know. Everything they did was touch and go, you know what I'm saying? It was struck gold, so yeah.
Yeah, Corrupt ripped that shit, ripped his fucking verse, like, jeez, like, Dog Pound, Dog Pound for like an easy 10, if that's not 10, I don't know what is, straight up. And now we get to the 3 songs that, if you had the cassette, they were on there. If you had the CD, well, the only time you could actually get that on a CD is if you actually bought one of the singles. I forgot which song, what maxi single it had it on, but it would have all those 3 songs. And these should have been, and these could have easily put on the main CD. First one, 19, Pain, Tupac and the Late
Easy Great Stretch. Easy.
I'll give it 100.
More like a 20.
It's probably my favorite pop. I mean, arguably my favorite pop song. It's up there as my favorite pop song. that Earl Clue sample, you know, Inside of Your Love. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and again, this is where Dr. Dre wanted to remove this song. Like, what the fuck?
Fuck that nigga. What are you bugging? Like, really?
Yeah, an engineer had to tell him, like, yo, this spits. What are you doing? Keep this shit.
What are you talking about? Yeah, that's wild.
Yo, honestly, Dr. Dre, if one day when Dr. Dre's unreleased vaults are opened up, I bet you anything, there's so much fire in there.
So much fire.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out Dr. Dre. I saw recently that, you know, Terrence Bud was Crawford was there. You know, the whole, he got a star in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
He's probably the GOAT producer, but...
I mean, obviously he's been part of a lot of classic shit, but sometimes we hear about some of the shit that he's actually, you know, he's actually like said like nay to and like, nah, this ain't hot. And you're like, what the fuck is this nigga listening to? Like, you know, it's like Pain was so classic. Like, the beat was used all throughout the fucking movie. Like,
I mean, it's a sample from the Earl Clue song, as I mentioned, but I mean, you know, J. Cole had a fire version of that song. It's just, it's a iconic fucking beat. And obviously Tupac, you know, is rapping.
And you know what pissed people off too? Because, yeah, I know people used to be pissed because they was like, oh, I got the soundtrack. And like, you know, if they had the CD and like, wait a minute, where the fuck is Tupac Pain? Like, cause that's what used to piss people off. Like, how come it's not on the fucking CD or whatever? But like I said, the cassette had the version of it. So yeah. That's like a 15 out of 10, 20 out of 10. 15 to 20, between 15 and 20 is an acceptable.
That's 100. It's 100. I'm giving 100.
I know a lot. Pain is one of those songs that is one of the most disappointing songs to not be on a CD since fucking... It's up there with Hey AZ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you get there, you're like, what, Hey AZ ain't on this?
Yeah.
I mean, they put it on the decade shit, the double disc, if you got an AZ. But
And Hey AZ had a whole fucking video too. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's the world famous AZ show. Yeah. No doubt, Tata Mello Love Party at the. Hey, what up, Miss Bitch? Shutterworth turned his camera off because he turned 100% white. Nah, I'm on 90% right now. You see this, you know, the butter pecan glistening, nigga.
This nigga so stupid.
Hey, though. Come on.
Alright, yo, number 20, My Money Right by Lord G.
Alright, okay, they could have left this shit off. This was like a 6.
Now Lord G, yeah, like the beat was fine though, but Lord G was not really.
He wasn't the strongest rapper. Like, he wasn't the strongest was cool, rapper. But it's like he like it was one of those like favor.
Yeah, he was definitely a generic rapper of that era. Like the way, you know, he wasn't anything special. Like the beat was hard, or whatever. So I'll give the track a 5 just off the beat alone. But yeah, he wasn't the strongest rapper on that shit at all. Like none.
Yeah,
like 5, 6 is maybe, but 5 is more likely the best score for him. Maybe even a 4, to be honest.
Any 4, 5, 6s, nigga, he crapped.
Head crack.
I mean, like, that's it. Like, one of the, you're not wrong with either one of those three. Like,
right. P, Pilot, what'd you think?
7.
Oh, you're wrong then.
No, Pilot, I'm just curious. What was the
7? Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you, Pat.
I don't know. After Pain, it's just I'm not after Pain. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm gonna just give it a 7. It's just my opinion. I don't have a reason.
He was one of those like you know, like, your Pilot was a DJ. Like, he would always play your song after like the best song of the set. So it's like your shit still got like an after buzz, and niggas were still kind of dancing. Like Pain, the Tupac song went off, but. I'm still feeling that vibe, like, yeah. I don't know who the fuck this is, but okay.
So Pilot gave that song the Pain stimulus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Literally, it's Pain, you know, it's Pain.
Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Pete, what about you, bro? Hey.
Somebody's holding up the bodega.
I know, right?
He went to the back. He went to the back room. He was making a phone call in the back.
You got to see if there's bologna left for this hockey sandwiches. Damn, this nigga want. Somebody wants a damn moon pie hockey sandwich with turkey bacon, and bologna. It's like, what?
Yo, you stupid. Fire. We got to the last and final track on there. Loyal to the Gang with Tupac, Stretch from Naughty by Nature, and Riddler.
Ten.
Yeah. You know, that Cameo Sparkle sample, that shit was... You know, that's why when they did that remix shit, I think it was the G-Unit album or whatever they did for that, and they remixed that shit, I was like, get this shit out of here. Like,
you know. Dog, honestly, that's one of the biggest stains on Eminem's legacy is that Tupac album. I don't know what he did, who decided to give him that shit.
Right.
But man, that's one of the biggest musical fumbles of all time. Like, if there was a top 10 list of musical fumbles, that Eminem... That Loyal to the Game?
Yeah.
I was like, easily top 5, top 10.
Yeah, like, and I get it because the Fanny Shakur was probably one of the check, you know, because honestly, anything attached to Eminem in that time was money. It was money. And,
man, I'd have had somebody overseeing that, dude.
But it's the same thing, dude. All they had to do was just clear some of the original. I mean, Johnny J was still fucking alive, people.
People don't understand. Like, a lot of the Tupac songs that were unreleased were already over timeless production, in a sense where, you know, how some beats they go beyond an era,
right?
Like, you hear some shit and you're like, okay, this is that Quad City, this is that Whoop There It Is era, Who That Is My Baby Daddy, like that era, and you then you got some joints like, okay. Like, okay, that's that New Jack Swing to era, but it's like Tupac didn't have like a lot of his music wasn't confined to an era though,
right?
Maybe like the first two albums, first but two after albums that,
are, yeah, like
yeah, but then it's like hip hop in general was more tied to an era in the early 90s, and it wasn't until like maybe 94. Hip hop started getting into that, like the production was kind of like timeless in a sense where you could play a joint from back then now. Okay, like,
right.
I can see that. But yeah, Loyal to the Game. Oh, yeah. Wow, it's crazy. That's the name of the fucking song, too. I'm just looking.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, like this.
Bars.
Yeah, this was the perfect way. Like, Tretch and Tupac. You know, I mean, Riddler was cool on it. Like, I mean, he ended the shit. Like, I mean, he wasn't whack or anything. It was just after Tupac and Tretch. It's just like,
you know, you had to have Benzino on there somewhere.
Yeah, you got to let the weed carry out, get us, you know, get some bars in.
Yeah, but long as he didn't fuck it up, I'm cool. Like,
which he didn't do. Like, the vibe was still like he maintained the vibe.
Yeah, like, so that's it. So we ain't just trying to shit on this nigga. I mean, I don't want one of his nephews in the comments like, hey man, my cousin, man, my uncle was the Riddler, nigga. Like, fuck, this Gotham City, nigga. What you talking about? Like, like, nah, we don't want none of that. We're not saying dude was trash or that. Nah, he was cool. It's just, you know what I mean? You getting Tretch and Tupac first, nigga. Come on.
Like, yeah, I just wish Tretch and Tupac made more. So I mean, they have like three joints, I guess they did together or whatever. And then, to me, this is their best one. Like, Loyal to the Game, and like I said, you know, it's on the cassette version of Above the Rim soundtrack. But yeah, it ends the whole soundtrack as a 10. You know, like the shit is a classic sample, classic spitting, everything. So I know 10 Pilot for you, 10 LB.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
10 for sure.
P, was it that for you?
I'm 9. It's too short. We didn't have it much. I mean, Trench didn't do the multi flow that much. It made Naughty by Nature famous.
what this nigga gonna say?
Stop it. It's a 10.
I'm finna stay, like, cause Tupac the only nigga who could like put a Star Trek sample in the beginning of songs. He could take fucking throwback record, like, nigga, like, yeah. This nigga was on some anticipation shit too. He was like, fucking Jeopardy music started going, like, nigga, chill. Like, what the fuck it is? Like, yo, this is goddamn 10, nigga. Chill, get over yourself, nigga.
Yeah. And so the funny thing is too, because we did a poll for, you know, obviously Above the Rim, Sunset Park. So Pete, do you want to bring up the poll?
Pause.
Pilot, you bring it up. You made it. You bring.
Oh, okay.
It up.
I didn't know which one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you all you light skinned niggas look the same, obviously.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see. for the vote, right? Of you know. Okay, let's see.
Comedy.
What the fuck is it? God damn. Hold on. Let me see.
Is it good to
go? So, we did a poll pause in regard to discussion of which was the better album. The fuck is this shit? Hold on a minute, dude.
Better soundtrack.
Yeah. Hold on. Where the fuck is it, though? Hold on. All right. Which of these classic basketball movies had the better soundtrack? Above the Rim or Sunset Park? We got 30 votes and basically a 4-1 for Above the Rim at 80% and Sunset Park at 20. Give Sunset Park.
Wow.
I'm saying, because, you know, it's all nostalgia. Like, I thought, like me, again, like I said, I thought me, okay, Above the Rim easily. But no, I would change my vote if I could on this app. But so I was saying, if anybody's listening, listen to Sunset Park album because it's a damn good album. So.
Yeah. And like I said, because I think, like I said,
man, voted Sunset Park.
Yeah, I voted Sunset Park too, because I mean, me and Ellie both literally said in the comments that Sunset Park was like, you know, we definitely said.
You don't really have to take anything away from Sunset Park. You don't have to do that. It's like somebody hands you a plate of food, and you ain't even really got to put hot sauce on it. But you know, we gonna still put hot sauce on it, but you don't have to.
After listening to Sunset Park. I consider soundtrack albums, especially back then, just it's a playlist. I mean, really, it's truly a playlist. You know, soundtrack albums for the most part. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this was a perfectly curated playlist. Whereas Above the Rim was kind of like a playlist. Well, let me put the good songs here. Let me put some trash over here. Let me put some mid over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like that nigga said. That nigga divvied it up like a damn Thanksgiving plate. Man, we got some yams. We got the greens. We got the stuffing. We got some beef, we got some corn, like, yeah.
But yeah, right. I mean, like I said, Above the Rim does have a stronger legacy than, you know, than Sunset Park in a way. Like, the soundtrack went double plat. Like, that was unheard of for rap soundtracks and soundtracks in general. Like,
you have Regulators as your lead single. It's just over. Like, that shit used to hit win every damn MTV Jams countdown. Like, you just had to be there. Just one of those.
I mean, it was a number one album for like how many fucking weeks? Like, you know, shit was crazy. Like, it was that crazy an album, like, of a soundtrack, though. But like I said, it's one of the ones where it's like I said, the singles were so huge that that's what an album's supposed to do. Like, the singles have to, if the singles don't hit, then the album's gonna flop. Like,
I'm not saying Pac's overrated, I'm just saying they had the Pac attachment, you know, so everybody's, you know.
Yeah, cause, you know, Pac was in the movie, had the attachment, but then,
Pac was in the movie, it held the big names, I mean, you know, consider the movies, you know, it had a young Marlon Wayans, it had a young fucking, Bernie Mac, you know what I'm saying? It had
Leon, you know, like, say, I mean,
Leon's a legend.
Tom Shepard.
You hear me, Nutso? I'm something now, or whatever he says. What is it? It's been basketball on the fucking second floor of a fucking third floor or some shit.
Nah, that's New York shit, bro. Like,
yeah, them niggas is playing basketball on the damn top of a building roof or some shit.
Yeah,
he just went off. Like, that was just the most unbelievable. Like, stupid. I always thought that was like some stupid shit. Like how you just jump off the fucking roof, bro? Like. Man, this dumbass nigga. I'm sorry. This nigga I thought that was some stupid shit, bro.
Yo, this nigga had to swallow his laugh, yo.
No, I was just like, yo, what the fuck? Salute Karma Serene. What it do? What it do?
Yeah, no, above
the rim. Yeah, that's just crazy.
Like, I mean, Above the Rim had strong fucking acting, but yeah, some of the shit in there was just wild. Like, yeah, that scene, like the
The boots too. The when they was kicking Bernie Mac,
yeah,
it was like, niggas be treating homeless people wild, son. Like,
yeah, Bernie Mac played a damn good bum. Like, you know, they think, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he did play a convincing fucking bum. Like, but that's acting though, because. And it didn't tell you, like, could you picture Steve Harvey playing a bum?
Oh, yuck, you'll be like, oh, yuck, oh, yuck.
No. Nigga, no one wants the fucking Goofy movie. Like nigga, stop. Oh, but damn, that was a good, so Hold on, so everybody voted for damn Sunset Park or Above the Rim?
Like, yeah, I voted Above the Rim, but I would pick Sunset Park.
I originally voted for Above the Rim, but after further consideration, I have to change my mind.
Yes. Oh, y'all some hoe-ass niggas. I applaud you hoes. But yeah, y'all saw the light. Skin. Yeah, Nis. I mean, the light. Yeah. Y'all knew what was better.
Yeah, like I said, and Sunset Park, though, I mean, even with all that, I mean, it still went, the soundtrack still went plat, you know, so it was like,
yeah,
for a movie that was
the MC Light song, nigga, come on.
Yeah, MC Light, yeah, brought that shit, and I think the Aaliyah set was a single, too. I almost forget that it actually was.
The Hoop in Your Face was a single, too.
Yeah, it was absolutely, that was absolutely good. Nigga, I remember at NBA, because I remember at some NBA, you hear that shit, too, like,
yeah.
And then
these niggas don't know about no 90s NBA, like,
you know, especially NBA inside stuff where they used to show like the people, like footage people dancing to certain shit in the crowd. That song used to be fucking playing. Like
the whoop whoop, there it is.
Oh yeah.
And you had two versions. You had two niggas, but you had whoop and then you had whoop. Like that's how like.
Yeah.
That's the crazy shit. Like come on, man. 90s. Speaking of 90s, man, so we gonna be back here next week, man. Like, cause niggas love the 90s so fucking much. Like, you niggas just love the
90s. We're not done with the 90s like all these kids are.
Yeah, we back with the 90s, so now, we gonna have, since niggas love the 90s so much. Oh, salute, Kane, son, what it do? Green Gang Realm, yeah, you know, Netherworld. NetherRealm gang, nigga, yeah, we in here, bro. So we gonna do we have a little rematch. Since a motherfucker in this particular battle loved the 90s so much, we gonna revisit that. So me and Pat gonna have a 90s R&B playlist back. So no categories, we just hitting y'all niggas with the fire fucking R&B from the 90s. Got a whole decade to choose from. That's only criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and so next week episode, you know, it's gonna be for the ladies. It's gonna be, you know, you a nigga, bring a lady now. We gonna be here, we gonna be vibing, gonna be some good music, and we gonna get our shit, we gonna talk our shit.
And hopefully YouTube doesn't hate on us and, you know, tries to say, oh no, we can't, you know, the artist doesn't want you playing this, you know, on the streams again. You know, we're gonna have to like suppress it and shit like that. You know,
hopefully no hate. So that's why y'all gotta make sure y'all tune into the live. I mean, so y'all can see it live.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know we'll say the name of the song, but it ain't the same when you just chilling. So
right.
So definitely be there for that one. That's gonna be epic. Just because we want to show, you know. We don't get R&B a little more love, you know. It's R&B been getting a little love, you know, had the Brandy Monica joint.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many classics from the 90s that, you know, underappreciated. So you heard some of them on the damn soundtrack here.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, we taking it a step further with that. And we'll see who wins. And most of all, just to put niggas on some newer shit, some shit they may not have heard or some shit that they forgot about is fire. So, you know, that's really the takeaway from all these playlist battles and shit, because I love music and it's good to just, you know, pay it forward.
And, you know, obviously, and of course, you know, there'll be more non-90s shit too, but this is just, you know, one of those things.
Yeah, some niggas be trying to throw the Larry Holmes at us a little bit, so we might put something in 2010s. I'm just saying, some niggas, I've been trying to promote.
We've had other battles and shit. Like,
I know. I be peddling on that shit a lot. There's a couple niggas that be always trying to throw the Larry
Holmes. What, Discord niggas?
I mean, Collie / you know, from the Collie Discord type of thing. They just, you know, like, oh, you know, always on the 90s shit.
But my whole thing is this, like, I I get that, but it's like, where's the alternative? Why is no one coming up with the alternative? Why everybody always goes back to this? And then at the same time, like,
people are sampling the 90s shit now, which is crazy.
Yeah, like, and even the young niggas, even the niggas who's like 17, 18 doing reaction videos to this shit. Reaction to the 90s. Reaction to Mobb Deep. Reaction to DJ Quick. Like, The niggas fuck with that era. Like, we can't help that that's what's popping. Like, we don't see no one doing no new shit like that.
I saw a nigga like almost 100,000 views on a reaction to the Ice Cube My Summer Vacation. I was like, what the fuck? This young nigga getting 100,000 views on My Summer Vacation reaction? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because they don't understand that Ice Cube was one of the, you know, that nigga was probably the most dangerous rapper at some point, because that nigga used to say,
yeah,
kick that shit to niggas, yo. Like,
if we do this shit on a creative way too, like, we the main niggas keeping the damn verses alive and showcasing different music, like even the battles, like who out here fucking putting Prodigy versus Freddie Fox in goddamn album battles? Who's doing that? Like, who's talking about Freddie Fox Industry Shakedown first of all? Like, who's doing that? Who's talking about Zero and versus Webby? Like, who's really putting all these genres? Oh,
Biggie versus Yuck Mouth.
You know? Biggie versus Yuck Mouth. Putting two double albums together, like, yeah. Nigga.
Yeah.
Like, come on, from the same era. Like, because niggas don't even, they from the same era. So it's like, mm-hmm. We putting all this shit in, and niggas were legit in the Kali threads on some, like, yo, I never heard this Yuck Mouth album before, but it's just fire. Like, it's just hot. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, that's the whole, like, come on, like, I feel like we Ring Gang, we doing a good thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we could be saying bullshit, but nah, like, we put niggas on this shit.
I mean, even with the Mason Silk the Shocker shit we did, and you know.
Yeah, that was a good one, actually. Like, the Mason Silk, it was left field, but same era, same type of artist, the new guy, the young guy, the heartthrob, whatever the ladies meant, whatever the fuck, like.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, like, we be mentioning, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I hate to be one of those niggas that's like, well, you do something better. But goddamn, like. But it'd be fun, though. Like, damn, I mean, I appreciate all the feedback and shit. Like, you know, like Pilot said, we'll do some 2010s.
Yeah, I know Rome be on this, but, you know, we had to talk, because, you know, this nigga was like, cause when we did the soundtracks, like, this nigga was on some other shit, but it's like, yo, your generation doesn't do soundtracks anymore. Like, we're going to do Creed versus Black Panther? Like, come on, like.
Yeah. Like, it's like, come on, like, certain shit niggas ain't even doing no more. Like, we, like, I mean, dude, like, we even did the movie battle. Like, who, like, that? Who's even, I was, then the other day, I was thinking, like, damn, you know what? We probably need to do Predator 2 versus RoboCop 2 and then leave it alone. Like, because I was like, I haven't seen Predator 2 in some years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been meaning to rewatch RoboCop 2 in some years.
Right.
And, like, that might be one. But I know we got another one, like, the Jackie Chan Jet Li one.
Yeah. We'll eventually get to doing that one for sure. Like,
yeah, we'll do that one before the RoboCop and all that other shit. But yeah, that's just different shit down the line. So yeah, just stay tuned for the fucking for the next battle. It's gonna be fire. You know, especially if you're a '90s R&B fan, that's like, you definitely gotta, you know, tune in. Like, Ring Gang getting all romantic and shit, niggas. Niggas gonna be like in all red and shit.
Kang Song,
Get Down about- versus Umbach, nigga. Yo, like, yo, that's, ah, that's a fire battle, bro. Yo, that's a fire.
Yo, we might need to do that, yo.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, salute Kang Song, because he be having good ideas and shit. Like, we be conversating and shit, but
because, you know, we some martial arts niggas here, so obviously.
Yeah. We love fighting too much, not to, like, yeah, like, Yip Man versus Umbach. I ain't gonna lie, both are 10, both are classics, but I don't fucking know, man. Like, god damn, nigga, yo, Pat, like early, like. Which one would you? Because I ain't gonna lie, Umbach came out, I must have seen that shit 7 times.
Yeah.
First day cop.
Yeah, seriously, yo. Like, yeah, Umbach was just like, what the fuck? What am I like? Like, this shit was mind blowing at the time. Like, I had nothing like that. Like,
and then fucking, it Man was hard too, but, like, I don't know if it blew me away like Umbach did. I don't, but Yip Man was fucking great, though.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Jaa was just like, yeah, that's why I say, Tony Jaa really should have had next, but I mean, I don't know where his career trajectory went wrong, though, but yeah, dude was fucking amazing. Like, the movies are, like, incredible.
Yeah, then the Protector. I seen that shit in theaters and was like, yeah. Wow, Fatal Fury over GTA. Man, I'm like one of the biggest Fatal Fury fans, and I wouldn't even say that, bro. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
If you could get the GTA 6 day one, you could GTA.
Yes.
Like, the fuck out of here. Like, but I like folks with Fatal Fury. Like, you know, Team Bogart, you know what I mean? What they do, Geese Howard in the building. Mm-hmm. OG Umbat was funny too. It was like,
mm-hmm.
like we missing mainstream martial art movies. Like put one of them shits in the theaters. Like, what's the one you was telling me that's gonna be coming out? The Monkey Man.
Yeah, Monkey Man. Yeah, that's in a couple weeks.
All right, I'm gonna make sure we got to see that. We got to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got two free movie tickets, so I got one of them I'm gonna use just for that. So
yeah, I got some in there. Movie card for that, so yeah, it ain't nothing else been
because
like, Landed Up Bad was good though.
Yeah, because I mean ever since LB put me on to RRR, you know, which is like a whole mixture of like musical and straight up violence and shit, and that is pretty much any Indian film like that where I'm seeing graphic violence in the trailers, I immediately go to that. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna see this, let's see what this is all about. Yeah.
Honestly, I think I was telling Rome, I was like, because I remember it was one of the last movies I put my father on, because he watched it like a couple weeks before he died, and we was vibing to that shit. Mm-hmm. I would love to see American like do that approach, like make an action movie, buddy action movie. And then, like, how the Bollywood niggas do it so slick. Like, they'll be doing undercover, and they'll walk into a club. Mm-hmm. And be like, yo, what's good? Like, yeah, there she is. That's our prime target. Yo, we got to investigate her, get her number. And so a nigga spin around, and he'll get all smooth and shit, and be like, like, yo. And I want to see, like, yo, like, they'd be so rough. Like, if they just had niggas do that on some rap and R&B shit. Like, that shit would just be fire, like. Mm-hmm. Don't over the top Chris Brown this shit, but I know he's a good example. But I guess more Omarion or I am Image, but you get what I'm saying? Like that whole vibe, and that shit just bust out into a fight. It'd be like a whole music video, and then it just bust out back regular. Like yeah, so
mm-hmm.
yeah. So the gang niggas is coming through. This is that like it's at the point I could almost see BMF doing that shit, like.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, so corny. The Mayhem trailer said the movie is Raid Redemption.
Yo, Hank, so we just did it's gonna be posted soon. But me and LB, we did a review on Mayhem because we finally got a copy of it and we watched it.
Yeah, it goes into more detail than the little short I put up the other day. So yeah. Oh, the Warrior and Shogun putting martial art films back on. Yeah, you right. Warrior did do that, but Warrior ain't get enough love, fam. So yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, they keep moving that shit, and then now it's they canceled it, but now we gotta pray that maybe Netflix revives it because it's still not having this proper finale.
Yeah, I mean Drake helped damn Top Boy come out like come back out like yo. What do y'all think is see he fuck with Warrior?
Right?
Like, damn, that's why I can't hate on that nigga completely. I ain't gotta be a super fan of his music or nothing, but
mm-hmm.
him just helping Top Boy, like, is a good, you know what I mean?
Right.
He get points from me in that one. Ghost of Tsushima, Pat, like, I had told Clown Arc, I showed him the short, and he was like, yeah, he already seen it, and yeah, it was like, I'm like, god, dude, Clanarchy be up on them fucking violent movies before anyone else. I be forgetting the damn, because he hollered at me the other day, I be forgetting to ask him about shit, because he be up on that, all those damn movies, like, sometimes before us, yo, his recommendations are crazy, like, he's into that shit. He supposed to be sending me some new beats soon, even, back in the lab, so
that's what it
hopefully we get some joints going again. Maybe drop some freestyles, because you know me and Rome got to put out some music this year. Definitely got some got some shit. Because Ring Gang, we taking over. Like, we working on some interviews, working on some collabs, more animation, the training shit on deck. You already know.
Yo, PJ, between you and PJ, especially PJ, PJ's been killing this. Yo, if you ever go to PJ's, yo, go to PJ's Instagram. Say, like, PJ be not just his own shit, but he be taking the fights and just bringing down, you know, breaking down his own way. Like, PJ, you know, like, say, PJ, that's why he's the architect. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all just need to be up and in. Yeah, y'all just need to watch his videos and soak up that raw and cut game. Get your hand skills up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you definitely got to follow PJ on IG, like, cause that's it. And I follow me on IG because I put up my more of my training shit on there too. It's just easy for like the stories and shit. But right. I'm gonna definitely put up some more. I got like bad clips from last night. Ain't no sparring clips because it's like cops were there, like, and it's like,
yeah, you
ain't wanna like.
You don't need that bullshit in your life.
You know? Yeah, like, me and Shorty start going at it. We knowing we good, but these niggas like, hold on. Like, nah. So, I'm like, damn. And it's like, cause, you know, niggas be shooting at the park and all that shit. And
just, right. Maybe just be wilding out and shit, nigga. Yeah.
But it was still good training session on point. Shit. But that's pretty much it. Like, we could... Yeah. Yeah, we can wrap this up. You know, it's a good episode. Like, you know, it don't feel too long, too short. It just kind of just...
It flows.
It flowed.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so do some final thoughts for Get Up Ahead.
But Mayhem isn't better than Ray Redemption, just to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
let's get that straight first before we end it.
But yeah, Kang Sung, listen, when I should have it posted by like tomorrow or some shit, you know. Yeah, so yeah, just listen to that shit, like, you know, me and LB, like, you know, we broke it down. But yeah, some final thoughts. P, your final thoughts.
This is a good cast, good reviews. I had fun reminiscing. So, all about the 90s. So, looking forward to doing it again next week or whatever the hell we do it. I'm with it. That's all I got to say about that. Ring Gang all day.
Salute. Pilot, what about you?
I don't got much. We still the 90s all day, every day. 90s is the greatest era. You know what I'm saying? And that ain't going to change. Shout out to everybody listening. We'll be back next on Mondays. Boxing's picking up. You know what I'm saying? So, this week, but this Saturday, do your thing, because it's kind of a shitty card, but fuck up.
But obviously, if you're a gambling degenerate, the odds are out there, you know, like, you know, you can hedge that with some college basketball bets, you know, tournaments popping off and shit. So, yeah, you know, but yeah, next Monday, yeah, we got like three cards, like, they're all good cards, too, like, you know, like, you know, yes.
Hold on, wait. What three cards? The Fundora Zoo and what else?
That's the PBC shit. And then Oscar Valdez, Liam Wilson's on Friday. And then the Zerto card is on Saturday too.
Who's Zerto going against again?
One of the cruiserweight champions.
Oh, it's a decent fight then.
Like, yeah, it's also a lick too. Like, you know,
Guadalupe Marion or something. I mean, it's his first cruiserweight, so you never know. It's his first.
Yeah, Guadalupe Marion. Yeah,
it's his first true cruiserweight, so you don't. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's the one that hasn't defended his belt in a couple of years. So yeah, Oscar knows what he's doing. Like, you know, so if you see a KO,
it's a calculated type of.
I mean, it should be an easy lick, but this guy's in the legit actual cruiserweight, so you never know.
Yeah, he has power for sure, though.
But, yeah, it could turn into that Joe Smith other type of. What's that Joe Smith light heavy fight where it was like a close one?
The one where he won by the skin of his teeth, basically.
Yeah, like, it could be one of those type of fights.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm talking about. I can't just remember the other guy's name.
Yeah, let me that was a hard fight.
Yeah, it was.
It was like Maxim Vlasov. There we go.
Yes, Vlasov. Yeah,
that was the one. Well,
that was the one. Right? That was a hard.
You know, Vlasov was gonna run through him. I picked Joe Smith, but you know, it was a dangerous fight for Joe. But he did good. He did good.
Yeah, no, yeah. Smith had the fight. He won that shit in the last two rounds. That was
awesome. Some people
think he got a gift too, and I'm like,
those pro Euro fans, that subset of
fans. Yeah, every Euro nigga think that was a gift, but I'm just
that was a robbery and shit.
Yeah, because I know Vlasov, like, that dude was in the locker room with an ice pack on his head, like, bewildered that he lost.
Oh shit, that's hilarious. Hey, what up, Deontay Jones? Damn, nigga, like, yo, what the, like, yo, this late as fuck, bro. Like, we, like, It's like you looking for the holes and like the club is about to close.
Like, yeah, like he has no shame in this game.
Yeah, like you out in the parking lot right now, lighting up the Black and Mild, like, and King P already in the car, like hurry it up, y'all niggas, like, hurry it up, like, you know what I mean? He looking at his phone, our pilot over there lighting up, me and Pat just chilling, I mean, we, the old niggas, we walking out the club slow, like, but Deontay Jones, you pulling up right now, though, bro, like, damn. You have to say like next week, nigga.
Where, but obviously, you know, Deontay, you have. I mean, obviously, the live will be available shortly. So, yeah, it's 9:32. Yeah, he's on West Coast time. He's on Vegas time. So, I mean, it's all good. Pilot time. He's on pilot time. So, yeah, you got enough time to listen.
Always
to
and forever.
But LB, your final thoughts before we get up out of here.
Oh man, that's great. Just stay tuned for more shit. We back with more shit. Tell some of my Ramadan niggas.
Salute
to them. What's his name? Prolific gonna be back on the animation joint when that's up. So we back here. We gonna have more animation shit. More and more fighting. More, you know, because I do every ring game cartoon differently. Like, some of them I know the plot. Some of them I just draw a bunch of random shit and then create a plot after that.
Where?
And this one seems like one of those times where I'm just like, let me just draw some niggas fighting. Then I'm like, I can make a ring gang episode out of this. And yeah, so that's what's being casually kind of being in the world. Other than that, I know Pat probably got a forgotten fade in the tunnel or in the holster somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's just more like picking which one I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the forgotten fades, there's a lot of forgotten fades out there in boxing. So it's like, usually when I pick one, it might be something.
And run out.
Yeah, it's either it'll be something that LB will probably tell me on some random shit. And I'm like, and I write it down. And I'm like, oh, shit. And like, you know, or something, or maybe a fight I come across, like, oh shit, like, you know, I have different ideas, they're written down in different places, but yeah, I'll be picking one soon.
Word, and shout outs to my nigga PJ, cause she'll be getting a little, you know, some shit from him tomorrow, see what's good, make some moves, so yeah, shout outs to Planarchy, DZ, Rome Top 5, Prolific, everybody in Ring Gang Radio, you know, it's just not just us on the podcast, a lot of behind the scenes niggas making moves, you know, we love this shit, and no bull, I love two episodes of so much, I literally ran them back. I plan on listening to the Ice Cube review again tonight because it's so fucking entertaining. Like, now you love that Ice Cube episode, nigga, but hey, that's all I love, dog. I fuck with it, like, damn, like.
Yeah, because you know, it's one of our more polarizing episodes, meaning it's polarizing everyone else against me. That's one of two episodes that are like that.
Is that one and the Jesse Smollett one?
Well, yeah,
and the Anthony Joshua one too, when he lose to Ruiz. That's a classic.
Yeah, the Jesse Smollett one with me, LB, and PJ. Yeah, we were wild. We had so many jokes.
But then the Joshua one had PJ on it too, though.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, PJ, like, yeah, we got to get PJ back here, but I know the fucking timing. Like, we all trying to train these goddamn the Warriors of fucking tomorrow. So.
Right.
Oh, that Buck and Lloyd Banks one was fire, too. That was a great.
We got a lot of love for that one.
We do for some another G Unit topic. Like, them shits always pop. Like, niggas fuck with G. We mentioned the Mason Silk one earlier, actually. And niggas said very, very good too. We just mentioned that one. Yeah, but man, you gonna enjoy this one. Just for you because you just get in. Now we gonna have another. We have a 90s playlist battle next week. The R&B. So yeah. So tune in for that. But yeah, that's just for you because you popped in here late. But I ain't got nothing else to say, my nigga. We good. It's time for BMF.
Yes, yeah, BMF, you know, absolutely, you know.
See if we're going to see Biggie on this one. Right. Is Jeezy going to be there?
It took me a few seconds. I'm like, are we trying to do Tupac in this? Like, what the fuck?
Biggie said the multiverse Tupac.
This was 1991 with Pac with the bandana. I'm like, am I tripping?
We might see Piggy and Buff from the Death Row skits, you know, in there too.
That fucking multiverse pod can't be like said, like that shit.
Everybody
smoking on the blood. Just, and I don't know. It's like he got that look where it's like he looked too,
because nobody
effeminate or something. Like
I've never seen much BMF talk on the timeline until that Tupac shit. Like for BMF,
yes, like that shit pissed niggas off. Like mm-hmm. them Pac fans, like. Like they be sticklers, but it's the reason why it's so bad, because there's so much proof of what Tupac looked like at that event at that time. It's right. Like, how can you fuck that up? So that I understand.
Right. Yeah.
The Bradley and Monica one was good. Yeah, classic. Like, yeah, of course. Like, that's another one where we might have to do their sophomore albums match them up against, especially with the compelling arguments from King P.
Yes.
And then Monica had a better second album regardless anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. Tap into that R&B lane, but yeah, though. Shout out to everyone that joined us.
Share it to your lady friends, man. All your girls out there, like, they on the R&B. Like, that's the shit you tweet them shits to, my nigga. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Henry, right, God, yo, I know you know some hoes, bro. So, like, yeah, just let them know about this R&B shit that we be on sometimes. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, yeah, shout out to everyone who listened in, you know, and yeah, you know, like I said, you know, ring in, got that shit you want and need, you know, obviously we got the website and we got the YouTube. So yeah, listen, like, comment, subscribe, all that shit, and send it to your friends so we can all be friends, man. And cause, again, that banner is always there, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, see that banner always, you know, feel free if you feel in your heart, you know, if you want to donate to the cause or whatnot, and we appreciate it, because, you know, we do everything that we do for y'all. So yeah, you know, for myself, you know, Pat Scorpio, the England representer, for LB, Sort of Worth the God, the GOAT artist, for King P, Bodega P, and for Conscious Pilot, you know, this has been another wonderful episode of Real Talk, where, as always, shit's real, we talk about it. So, until next time, peace.
Yeah. No matter what, people.